water's poison. Where I'm from, the third world, son, 700 children died by the end of song. Revolution will come. Where I'm from, the third world, son, constant occupation leaves the third world torn. Yeah.
Immortal Technique, welcome back to the Friday Night Live Show.
What's up, man? What's going on?
We're doing well tonight. Pleasure to hear your voice and pleasure to hear your voice back on wax. Two things to talk about tonight, of course, the Third World and secondly, the UK show out in London. So let's deal with that UK show out in London then. What was the motivation then behind that show? It's a one-night only gig out there in London.
Yeah, man. I'm passing by doing a festival in Spain and then I'm going to be in Paris, France the next day, and then I'm going to spend some time, just, you know, 2-3 days out in London, visiting with some friends of mine, some people that I know that are working on some activities, some revolutionary activities, and then, of course, the promo, the coming album, mixtape with Green Lantern, Third World.
So it's a promotional gig, but also you're coming with The Circle and, of course, G.I. Joe. They're both coming with you as well. What can people, because obviously there's a lot of UK listeners, we've ran the competition tonight with Spread Love, who are putting on the event. We've ran the competition for a couple of pairs of tickets. So a lot of the UK listeners are asking, what can they expect at the show? I mean, are we going to be seeing copies of the album at the show? And secondly...
Sure, I'm going to do a couple of songs off the new album. I'll do some stuff off volume 2. We might take it to volume 1. I think that over the course of these years, I've come to London and I got the feeling when I was performing in New York in the late 90s, you know what I mean? London audiences, they get exposed to a good amount of hip-hop, so you have to do something really, really extra to hold their attention. You know, to really make them grasp hold of the concept you're trying to bring. So it's not an easy crowd to wow. You know what I mean? It's not a walk in the park. It's a lot of work, and, you know, you put stuff into the show. You really plan it out, you know, because people want to see someone that has put some work into their art, you know, rather than somebody, you know, stage lazily fuck around. Straight. I think that, you know, it's about as close to getting that kind of fold your arms, you know, New York crowd that's not going to be impressed with whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always enjoy being out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, so many artists do. They say the same thing, that they come out here and people really kill to get out into the UK because there is that. I mean, this is going to be a sellout. There's no question about that. This is going to be a sellout. Why? Because it's Immortal Technique. And secondly, because of the brand new project. So let's talk about the project. Let's skip to that. So let's deal with the worldwide issue then of this new project. The Third World, hosted by Green Lantern. The track list, of course, as you probably know, is fairly much out there now. It's leaked out there and it's just whet the appetite of so many people. But for anybody who's not caught that, then just run through the whole mixtape. What can people expect on there? Who's on there, etc., etc.?
Well, I mean, Green Lantern produced, between him and Southpaw, produced about a little more than half of the project. I have other producers on there as well, like Buck Wild from DITC, Scram Jones, this cat Shuko, Metaphysics from the second installment of Revolutionary Volume 2. And then I got my homie Spectacular, even got dudes at Cycle Realm doing some production on there. So, I mean, a fair amount of individuals coming with different sounds. That's what we're going for here. You know, everything has like a different sound on it. So if you don't necessarily like one song, you're like, I don't know about that, then there's something else on there for you. Like, we took it in so many different directions because we wanted to parallel life in the third world to life in the streets in, you know, America or Europe, to, just to show people, listen, no matter how bad you think we have it here, our brothers and sisters that are suffering in South America, in West Africa, in the Caribbean, in the Middle East, they have it 1,000 times worse. And in the same way that first worlds go there and exploit the economy and the natural resources and every aspect of those places, that's what the industry is doing to the underground in hip-hop, to the third world. So we're actively drawing that correlation. We're bringing it real hardcore, strong, no chaser. You know, it's cut like a mixtape, but, you know, there's all original tracks. So for all intents and purposes, it's an album, but, you know, it's an album mixtape. Myself, Green Lantern, Crook and I, Chino XL, Cycle Realm, Razzcast, Diabolic, Poison Pen, Circle, J.R., Slave Sever, Maya Susena, Temperamento, Veneno, DJ G.I. Joe, and we recently added a track with Akir and with Pharoah Monch.
Okay, that's news right there.
That hasn't been released, but you just heard it now here on London. Yeah. We have a track on there with Akir and Pharoah Monch. Right here on the corner.
That's cool, man. That's good to hear. You hear that Akir's up on the project as well. Because that was one name I was looking through there. And I didn't see his name. So that's real dope. So Pharoah Monch and Akir on an added track as well on there, which I don't think's made the track list, which is leaked. Now, of course, the questions, and I didn't want to begin with these sort of questions, but the questions are always asked then. The time scale between the last time you released a product and this. And what I want to touch you on, apart from asking, you know, why, because I think that's irrelevant, is what were the added pressures then with that sort of time? We're talking like 4 years. I mean, what were the added pressures when you're thinking, right, June 24th, it's ready to drop. Did you feel any extra pressure because of that time?
Did I feel any extra pressure? Nah, not really. I mean, to me, thank you very much. I think that, you know, the way that people react to the record is going to be, it's going to be based upon whether they understand the concept of the whole thing. You know what I mean? They understand why we're doing this, the politics that are going on right now, everything that's at stake economically. You know, I really feel like, to me, I'm a revolutionary before I'm a rapper. So there were so many things that I got caught doing that I got put onto my schedule, and I don't regret doing them at all. You know what I mean? Like, I took the money that I generated off the Volume 1 and Volume 2. I bought myself a farm in South America, you know, where we grow crops. And down there, the big issue is agribusiness, because this global food crisis is also attributed to the fact that a lot of people grow corn, they grow all these other things that they now sell to Europe and America for fuel. So they'd rather sell it to get money for for clean burning fuel than to feed their own people, and their people are starving. And then there are places in Latin America and Africa where, you know, very rich, like I said, in the poverty and philosophy, but, you know, everything that passes inspection, they sell to Europe and America. And whatever doesn't pass inspection, they sell back to their own people. So in what I do, I'm trying to, you know, a small entity, of course, because my neighbors are, you know, thousands and thousands of acres. I only have like 350 acres, but a sizable portion to show people that at that level, we could be successful in selling good food at a fair price to our own people. So, I mean, that's one thing. I toured the country four times over. You know what I mean? I was sick for about 6 months with like strep throat, fucked up, and I had to, you know, step to the side. I went on tour in Europe twice. I went to South America, Africa, you know. That's a whole lot of things. I kept doing a lot of guest spots with people and stuff like that. But I never really had time to sit down and focus on just one project, because I had the Middle Passage I was working on. I was working on Revolutionary Volume 3. And these albums are half done, you know what I mean? It was just that Green Lantern hit me up with a bunch of instrumentals, and I was like, yo, I need to put this stuff down now. And we did, and it just kept rolling. And all the songs that came out, you know, they weren't about what I wanted Revolutionary Volume 3 to be about. It was about a different subject matter, you know what I mean? More closely related to what I was doing now, correlating the streets here in America or in the first world to the third world, and illustrating for people, you know, just how much better we have it, no matter how fucked up we think it is.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. What about the other projects then? You say that, you know, they're done and done. I mean, we won't talk date, release dates, anything like that, but in terms of the actual products being made, what is the status of Middle Passage at the moment?
I mean, they're pretty much, the way they stand right now, the record's half done, you know? I just need to go back in there, finish up about half the record. I mean, really, I just took time off from doing it because I had to market, sell, tour, and do work for the third world, because I wanted to show people that, you know, I hadn't forgot about them in this season. You know, I figured it had been 4 years, so I wanted to release a record. You know, now I'm finally in control of everything myself. You know, Viper Records has a straight distribution deal through Koch. No middleman, no bullshit, no nothing. And that's the way I like it. That's the best way for it to be for me. So
that's
another thing that definitely took place.
Yeah, definitely. I'm very blessed to be in that position as well with the label. I got my co-host Menace. He's in the studio. He's packed full of questions. Menace, it's all on you.
Are you feeling sick?
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Good, Holmes. What's up?
Good, good. It's the fact that so many people were getting frustrated and talking shit about Tech for taking so long to drop this mixtape street album affected your approach and thinking putting together this mixtape? You know, how hungry and focused were you recording this mixtape?
How hungry and focused was I? I mean, I was pretty motherfucking focused. You have to understand, the nature of my music brings out the best and the worst in people, you know? Like, the best in the fact that there are a lot of people out there who are just discovering how the world really works. There's a lot of people who are very cynical about the way things are. Like, oh, this is never going to change. What the fuck does it really matter? You know, why are you rapping about this? You know, I don't want to hear history, and I don't want to hear about, you know, Bosnia or Palestine when I turn on the radio or when I listen to a hip-hop CD. Like, I don't give a fuck about immigrants. You know, there's some people that just want to party in the club and whatever. I'm not mad at that, you know? So I've always, you know, gotten that sort of people with this pretentious attitude, like they don't want to have anything to do with what I do. And, you know, I guess if I hadn't sold, you know, over 130,000 independent records, you could make the argument that that sort of stuff doesn't sell. But the fact that I did, and I did it on my own without a major label backing me, it's proof that we can do this. It's proof that people care about what the fuck is going on in the world. It's proof that there's people that are willing to die for this. You know what I mean? My people are willing to die for this because my people have already been dying for this. So in terms of how focused I am, this is a merciless album, and this is a merciless immortal technique, because the enemy we're fighting is merciless towards us. We don't fuck about our lives, our people, our culture, our legacy. You know, just the very fact that we exist disturbs a lot of them. You know, they wish that we weren't there so they could just not have to deal with killing us so they could take what the fuck belongs to us.
And on that note, whilst we're talking about the enemy, as you and I know, hip-hop was very much under the microscope last year, beginning with pretty much the Don Imus situation. You know, what's curious about that is that here we are, you know, a year later, and he's got his job back, and somehow hip-hop's continued to be examined because of what he said. I mean, how do you feel about the current state of attacks today, which, you know, still go on in hip-hop?
I mean, I feel like, look, not everybody does hip-hop for the culture. You know, I think that's something the listenership needs to understand. You know, they're not everybody's rhyming because they give a fuck about you. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of hip-hop people, they're on some rock star shit. Like, to you, you know what I mean? You're cool, shake your hand. They probably try to fuck your girl behind your back. Like, you know, a lot of griminess, like, a lot of devilishness that goes on in the business. And, you know, when I saw a lot of this stuff, I was like, you know, I really don't want to be a part of that. So I started working on different aspects of stuff. You know, recently I was working with an organization called Omaid International, and we're building an orphanage in Afghanistan right now. You know what I mean? There are people that are like, oh, well, what the fuck is that going to change? Well, then get the fuck out of my face, nigga. I don't care what you think is going to change. I know what I'm doing, and if I'm good with doing that, And if this is my life and this is the life I chose, oh, he's talking too much about this and that, he's going to get himself killed. Fine. If that's what happens, then that's what happens. But, you know, I can walk anywhere, you know. A man who walks with God can walk anywhere. So I'll do as I please. I'll go to whatever fucking country I want to. I'll say whatever the fuck I want. Until somebody's willing to put their life up to shut me down and roll the dice. Because, you know, when you throw a punch, you open yourself up to get a hit with one. You know, when you take a sniper shot, people see where the bullet comes from, and they fire right back. If you're willing to commit to that, you should probably stay the fuck out of my way and just let me do what I need to do. Because I'm not rapping for you. I'm rapping for my people. And I take that incredibly seriously.
Absolutely. You mentioned the enemy there. I know this is a very, very open question. Who is the enemy?
Well, I mean, it depends on where we are in the world. You know, but at the same time, the enemy is basically people who exploit us for personal gain and play people off against each other. You know, individuals that profit from disaster. People that use tools like racism and classism to destroy us, to destroy our conception, our concept of what humanity really is. You know, we see children in Iraq as collateral damage now. How is that possible? How do we turn away from one human rights violator and turn our back on that situation and then have the audacity to condemn another? I think there's a lot of enemies out there. But I think the one that we really need to deal with is the enemy within ourselves, too. I mean, the jihad is a personal struggle, my man, you know? It's something that goes on within, because there's something for every part of you that wants to succeed, there's a part of you that's going to find a comfortable complacency in failure. And what I mean by that is there's a part of you that says, all right, well, you did enough already. You don't have to finish. You finish tomorrow. You already did enough today. Here, that's it. I'm good with that. Or that's just comfortable with not even getting shit done the way you know you have the capacity to get it done. So the first enemy that we have is ourselves. You know, then when we master ourselves and we begin to understand the dynamic of how we think and how we procrastinate and how we sabotage our own selves mentally, then we can begin to understand how we've been kept in this frame of mind for hundreds of years about being completely powerless to the state.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been said by psychologists that in any tyranny, the real problem is not the tyrannical leaders, it's the people who follow them. It's the sheep.
Well, obviously, the leaders bear some responsibility, but the people that follow them, obviously, you know, they put themselves a lot in that situation, you know. They're responsible for what they do. You know, democracy is a beautiful thing, but it's not a perfect system, you know. It can be cheated, it can be circumvented. You know, if I take my 4-year-old cousin to the store, and I use this example a lot just to show people. I take him to the store and I tell him, listen, you know, Lo, you want ice cream for the day and tomorrow and then next day and the rest of the week? Or do you want health care for the rest of your life, you know? He doesn't understand what health care means. He's so small. Like, to him, he's just like, no, give me the ice cream. So that's why, you know, when you're uninformed about specific subject matter, you don't know how to relate to your life, yeah, give me a tax rebate. No, I don't care about my pension or my Social Security. Who's going to pay for that? Who cares? You know, do you know that America is run like a failing business? The economy of America is run like a failing business.
How? How is it run like a failing business?
I mean, look at what we owe. Look at our national debt. Look at what we spend. Look at what we don't spend on. So I think that when people analyze the issues, they have to factor in the economic situation that goes on around the world. You know? So they fully understand what we're facing here.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, just to touch on another topic, which I know is a common theme, but what place do you think religion has in modern Western society?
Religion? What religion specifically, or just religion in general.
Religion. Let's say faith rather than religion.
Faith. I think the problem with religion in my eyes is that there's always been a real pretentious nature to a lot of it, you know? I've seen it a lot in Christianity. Unfortunately, I'm starting to see some of it in Islam, where people, you know, they come up to you with this idea that, you know what, if you don't believe what I believe, then you're missing something, then you're just a fool, you don't know, you know, and that's because for some reason some people feel threatened by other people's religion. I've never felt threatened by somebody else's religion, because I'm strong enough to know what my beliefs are. And when I look at other people who don't believe in the same thing, that doesn't bother me. You know, I don't feel compelled to say, okay, you know what, you don't believe in the real identity of God. Like, that's their personal decision to come up with. Like, there are people in America who are threatened that there are Muslim people here. They feel threatened by that. Mm. They're like, oh, you know, the Muslims are coming to take over. It's nonsense. Mm. Is your faith so weak that you feel threatened by somebody else coming in of a different faith? Mm. You know, if your frame of mind was so strong, then you wouldn't worry about that. You know? Mm. So when I see things like that, that bothers me, because faith is really a personal issue. It's what you decide to arrange with God. Mm. Whatever God you believe in. You know, if somebody next door wants to believe that, you know, this little statue that they have on their wall is God, that doesn't affect my life until, of course, they tell me that I need to believe in that statue. And if they don't, then I'm going to die. And unfortunately, that's what religion keeps doing around the world. Mm. And now they use it to politically reinforce specific subject matter topics and such.
Mm, exactly, and it's key words like fear, isn't it? It's that, just what you were touching upon there. It's about fear that people are, you know, very scared of
anything. Not just fear, but not really understanding what each religion's supposed to be about anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What Jesus' message originally was, mm-hmm. and how he was saying that it was not just the chosen people, the Jews would sit at the same temple with, at the same table with the Gentiles, he said, that all were welcome in God's kingdom, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when people talk about Islam, they don't realize that if you really are a Muslim, that you have to know the first two books before you read the third. I mean, you're supposed to know the Bible and the Torah before you even touch the Quran. The Quran is, like, that's advanced placement, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When you read that book back to front, you're supposed to already have studied the other aspects of it, so you understand how religion becomes corrupted. So you learn not to exchange spiritualism for physicality, so that your belief doesn't become about materialism rather than God. That's really the issue with religion now, that it's become more about materialism and about the physicality than it is about God.
And the kind of the personal spirituality, if you want to call it that. We've touched upon religion. We've touched upon this issue of the enemy. Let's touch upon politics then before we get to round things up. Of course, the question that's been asked by hundreds of people tonight, what are your views politically at the moment then? Are you all for Obama?
Well, I mean, I voted for him in primary here in New York. And if he gets the nomination from the Democratic Party, I'll probably vote for him over John McCain. I mean, I'm not going to vote for McBush, you know. I know exactly what that man is about.
Mm.
And it's funny when we talk about the military, and they're so scared. He's like a military man, and they're so scared of socialism, and they're always ranting on about communism. But, you know, any military family, you grow up in the most socialist environment you possibly can. I mean, the government pays for your medical bills, right? They pay for your housing. You live in government housing in the fucking military barracks. You know, you go to a military doctor, you see a military dentist, you know, military haircut. Yeah. Your whole shit's run by the state. And then you complain about socialism. Oh, the socialism, the government. Really? You can't go into a post office. That's run by the government. Pretty socialist, you know. Mm. Police department. Oh, that sounds scary now.
Mm.
Socialism. Ooh. You know, listen, no matter who's elected, I don't think that debacle in Iraq can be settled soon. I think they're going to be there for a long, long time. Nobody spends $1 billion on an embassy and then just leaves.
Mm, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
And rap, like I said on the record, is just practice for the urban war philosophy.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's a training ground.
Yeah, and it's logical, and it's logic, and this whole emotive aspect that that Bush and his people added to the whole thing about justice, the fight, freedom, all these emotive words. It's not, it's logic, like you just said there, you know. Well, how much did they spend on that embassy? What was the figures you just said there?
It was like $800 million or something that yeah. they spent on that embassy. But the upkeep of it over the course of, you know, 10, 20 years, the personnel, everything that's going to go into it, the appliances, the security detail, the weapons. I mean, it's going to come out to about $1 billion.
Mm. Yeah, exactly, and that's logical.
Create like a little paradise city-state inside Iraq. Have a permanent presence in that country. Mm. You know, people talk shit about John McCain and say, oh, you know, he said he was going to be there for 100 years. Well, we're still in Germany. The war has been over for 80 years. I'm sorry, for 60 years.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we're still there. We still have 80,000 troops in Germany. The German government pays us $1 billion a year. And we still have troops in Korea. Mm. We still have troops in Panama. Mm. We still have troops in Bosnia. We have troops all over the world, wherever we'd have drama. Mm. So, I mean, to say that we're going to be in Iraq and have a military presence, it doesn't matter if it's a battalion or, you know, however many legions, you know. Mm. We're going to be there for a long time, and that's something people... You know, they're either going to have to learn to deal with, or they have no idea how much money is at stake over there.
Exactly, and it comes down to that again and again, and people are just blind to that, but it is, it's a business, it's a financial aspect to everything. You know, it's a financial aspect to education throughout the West. It's all about money, it's about revenue. The more students you get at a school, the more money you then make, the more, you know, and everything's about business. So even things that are very pro-social that are sold to us as this is for the good of the kids, the good of this, the good of that, it's rubbish because it's all a business. And of course, we come back then full circle to the industry, like we were talking about earlier, and of course, one of the biggest businesses in the whole world, the music industry. And this is an issue we were just touching on a little bit earlier about yourself and the new record. We're going to have to, because obviously we're taking a lot of your time here, we're going to have to get very quickly then to the listener questions. There have been many. We're trying to filter through some of the most relevant. Let's have a look at the listener questions then that are coming through. Okay, now we've dealt with the Middle Passage question. That's already been dealt with. Let's have a look at this one then. June 24th is a release date. That's correct, isn't it, on the Third World? June 24th. So that answers that question for you. This question then, what are your future plans then after the Third World? I mean, what's coming next? A lot of people have been asking.
Well, I'm going on this Rock the Bells tour in the United States, and then... The Rock the Bells tour is coming to London as well. Coming to Germany. I think it's going to be in Amsterdam. I'll be in Eastern Europe. Then, of course, I have to fly out to the Pacific. And after all that's finished and I return in the end of the summer or early fall, I'm going right back to work on the Middle Passage, Revolutionary Volume 3.
Okay.
And... To be quite honest, I think that pretty much the problem with the way I did music before was that my schedule wasn't really that defined. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, yeah, just give me a show like whenever, and I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And instead now it's more like, look, I can't do this. You know, I have to finish my record. And it hurts sometimes, but it's a clear indication to people that, you know, this isn't about money for me because I've definitely turned down, like, $10,000 shows, $15,000, just so I could get this shit done, you know? Mm. I have an interesting relationship with the support base that I have in the fact that a lot of platinum rappers find it hard to get, you know, even 700-800 people out to a venue, because nobody really identifies with what the hell they're saying. But I think a lot of people in some way, shape, or form are going to be able to identify with the Middle Passage. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, with the Revolutionary Volume 3, with the Middle Passage, and of course with the Third World, because all of these address specific subjects. And inside of them, each have a song about different things. You know, it's not like I'm just remaking the same songs about the same issues, you know. We talked a lot about 9/11. We talked about the war in Iraq. We briefly discussed that in the Third World, but much more so about the conditions. Like, we talk about gentrification, which I know is a big issue everywhere right now, where people are coming into traditionally poor neighborhoods, fixing them up, and then moving the people that were living in those areas out so they can raise the rent, you know. It's like economic ethnic cleansing. So I think that when we look at that, it relates it directly. You know, when we talk about the right to bear arms, when we talk about the right to defend yourself against people that are coming after you, when we talk about, in hip-hop, we always have this fascination with weapons, with guns, but who are we really shooting at? Who are we firing at? You know, are we firing at the people that are keeping us oppressed? Are we firing against ourselves? You know?
Yeah.
It's relating to the way that things used to be to the way they are now. You know, in my life and then around the world, I talk about the Third World and their parallels, the streets, to show people, listen, your life's not that hard, dude. You know what I mean? You want to go to West Africa and pull the same shit over there, you're going to get dealt with. You can't fuck around over here like, you know, like that. You think you poor? Go to Nigeria, motherfucker. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Go to Bolivia. You know, you think there's war in your country? You know? Go to Ghana. Go to El Salvador. You see war, motherfucker. And out there, people, it ain't about romanticizing revolution, because not many people out there think that revolution is such a perfect thing. You ask a person who lives in them countries, revolution isn't some fucking party. You know, people are dying. There's no water. There's no electricity. You know? Innocent women are being raped. Children are being hacked up. So I think that the records themselves speak to so many different subjects. And I'm just really proud to be a part of that. And to even express that on the Third World, to talk about my personal life and the things that I've been through.
Yeah, exactly. One just very final thing then, just to finish off on. It's been a recurring question from the UK listeners. What is your view about the kind of mass marketing which has been the image of Che Guevara? We even had one of the royal family wearing the sporting the T-shirt, and there was a little bit of controversy about that. What are your views about that? How that image has been marketed?
What? Which image?
The image of Che Guevara. We've got the, particularly out in Europe, a lot of, just really it's been mass marketed and just sold as a fashion item.
Well, I think that's what I was just talking about now, how people, you know, they romanticize revolution, but, you know, spend a day with no electricity, you know, with no water, with no food. You know, electricity, revolution's not some fun, sexy, hip thing, you know what I mean? It's about sacrifice. And if you think about it, in every revolution that has occurred, whether it was the Haitian Revolution, whether it was the Cuban Revolution, the American Revolution, the Chinese Revolution, the Russian Revolution, all of these, innocent people have been killed. Innocent children have been killed. Innocent women have been raped. Property has been stolen. Nothing's guaranteed. There's an old saying that says, I would rather live under an unjust ruler for 10 years than to live a day in anarchy. You ask the people in Iraq and they can confirm that. Because nobody likes Saddam. I didn't think he was a perfect leader. But, and I don't like Bush. I don't think he's a perfect leader at all. But if there's no order to anything, there's nothing, people randomly running around the streets just walking, oh, I like your shirt, boom. I like your car, back. You know, I think people have to realize that in the so-called Third World, in these developing countries, that people are willing to risk all of that. They're willing to risk everything. Being killed, being enslaved, being raped, being hunted, having everything stolen from them. They're willing to risk it all because the government has become so corrupt, because the government's offenses are so blatant, because the centralized government is no longer believable. It doesn't provide the services that they need as a people. They're willing to risk it all at that point. It's gotten that bad that they're willing to roll the dice. They're willing to put their lives up and gamble that for a better future, not just for themselves, but more importantly for their children. And that's the reason a lot of them come here to this country. And they come to Europe. They come to London. They come to the UK. It's funny, when you look at America, when you look at the UK, there's so many people from the countries that they used to be colonies, that used to be slaves to this motherfucking country. Why do you think they're here? Because they associate that with success, with freedom. But not because it brought freedom to their land, because ironically, this country is probably the reason that they don't have freedom in their land. Because all the governments that have tried to, I mean, we're talking about Patrice Lumumba. We'll talk about Salvador Allende. No, from one extreme to the other. We're talking about Vietnam, people who have decided to have a democratic election and say, no, we want our own government. And then what happens? Oh, that doesn't really sit well with our plans. You know? That's fucking up our cash flow.
Yeah.
That's really what it boils down to, because they don't care if it's a communist or a capitalist, as long as they can continue to make money off of it. So it's not just about understanding the image of one man, but more about the entire concept that comes behind the revolution and what that really means and what that signifies for people, what that signifies in terms of sacrifice. So I would ask people before, you know, they that wearing a keffiyeh is a cute little fucking fashion statement, you know what I mean, or whether they think that putting on a Che Guevara shirt classifies them as being a conscious person or a revolutionary. You know, understand the conditions that those countries are living in now. You know, understand what the Cuban embargo has done to the people, you know? Understand the history of American involvement in Latin America. You know, before you wear that scarf and try to front like you know shit about some, or you think that shit is cute.
Yeah.
You know, understand what was done to the Middle East. Understand that the entire left wing of the Middle East was destroyed with the help of Europe and America. They didn't want socialism there. They wanted to destroy it. So what you get? You have the monarchy who falsely claims to be related to the Prophet Muhammad, exploiting the people, letting governments come in, steal their natural resources. The people still live in utter poverty. And where do they keep all their money? In European banks.
Yeah, exactly.
How does it break down like this? You know, understand what you're dealing with before you wear something that you don't know what the fuck is really.
Absolutely, and I couldn't believe it. I was out in Amsterdam last year, and I thought it was bad in the UK, you know, the way that had been exploited and people were wearing this and having no idea about what was behind it. But of course in Amsterdam, you know, it's become synonymous with marijuana. It's become, I mean, I saw a bunch of like football hooligans out there in Amsterdam. They were walking down, they were drunk, they were leery, they were shouting at people. And one of those had the Che Guevara on, and Che Guevara had a big spliff in his mouth, and that's how he'd been marketed there. And the whole idea and the concept and everything you've just been talking about there had just been sold off. Just as, and I think there's something behind that, because I think it's some power,
you know,
belittling everything, I mean, you just said.
If that's the case, we can make that case about a lot of things. Because people have marketed Christianity, people have marketed Judaism, people have marketed Islam, you know. People have been hustling people for years and years and years. I don't think we should be surprised that someone decided to do that with Che Guevara.
No, it's not a surprise. It's just disgust, really. Listen, Immortal Technique, thank you so much for taking the time out and all the time that you've taken out. We wish you all the best with, of course, Third World. You had a request off air. You want us to get into that Payback joint. We played it a little bit earlier on the show. We dropped that. We're going to drop it again right now and say thank you so much for your time tonight.
Definitely, man. And I'm going to be releasing a little pre-package for all the pre-orders online on Viper Records and on Amazon.com. We printed up the lyrics and the synopsis, like kind of like the explanation of what all these songs meant to me, and some exclusive photos and some of these essays out this book that I was writing. We're going to give it to all the people that pre-order, so come check us out at viperrecords.com, and definitely shout us out at myspace.com/immortaltechnique. Actually, I think I'll go on there now.
Yeah,
go. So for the next 5 minutes, if someone's there, you know what I mean? Just shout me out. I'll answer a couple of questions, you know, for the people that are listening attentively, and those people that show love to underground hip-hop. I appreciate it. I appreciate the people that support the movement and the message and everything that we're trying to do.
Exactly. So ViperRecords.com. Now, listen, Mortal Technique, last time you were on the show, we didn't ask for it, but I would love to ask for it now so we can put it alongside Chuck D's drop. Could we get a quick drop while you're on air? Is that cool?
Sure.
Okay, it's Conspiracy Worldwide Radio, and it's the Friday night. It's the Friday night live show.
Yeah, this is the Friday night live show, Conspiracy Theory Radio, motherfucker. This is Mortal Technique. You know what you're listening to.
Much appreciated, man. God bless. We'll speak, hopefully, off air. We'll be dealing with Tony as well. We're looking forward to that June 4th UK show out in London. It's going to be Ram Jam. We're looking forward to that.
Definitely see y'all there. Check the MySpace. Check the LipoRecords.com. Much respect, and thank you for the support.
Not at all. Immortal Technique, Conspiracy Worldwide. As I goes down tonight. Let's keep things moving and get into the track that Tech requested. We've already played it once tonight on the show. We'll get back into it before we hit some of those tracks which aren't anywhere on the internet, and we can 100% guarantee that. We've searched everywhere to make sure they weren't as well. We'll be getting into those very, very shortly as we line up. Of course, we took a lot longer than we anticipated as well, so we're a little bit late for one of our next guests tonight. So we'll get into a few tracks and then straight into the next guest of tonight. We're going to be talking to Ra Digger very, very shortly. Thank you to Immortal Technique as we rapidly and very quickly try and locate again in the studio that track. It seems to be emitting itself from our view inside the studio, so we might have to hit another track instead of that, but we will get back into that Payback track that we've already dropped tonight a little bit later on the show. It is, of course, Conspiracy Worldwide. We've located it. Thank you very much there, Menace. All right, then, let's keep things moving musically before we get talking to our next guest tonight, Ra Digger. Get yourself to ViperRecords.com. Immortal Technique is about to go there. Once again, get yourself to ViperRecords.com. Immortal Technique's about to go there.
I want to run for president, and the focal point when I'm campaigning is to put FEMA to work on a plantation at Camp David. Demand payment for New Orleans with the best of swordsmen. Launching missiles at the White House while tanks performing. On the lawn, and I just let them burn till death's confirmed. Laid to rest with worms, cause otherwise they'll never learn. I form a coup attempt with anthrax through the fence. From out a package I got in the mail that you just sent. But I got a better punishment for these Republicans. I'd let them live so they could see us overthrow the government. Let's fuck with them. Have the first lady beat me off till my semen's launched. Then I skeet across her face like Peter North. And I won't leave a doubt what we about when I dream them out. Or leave a drought bleeding out on Condoleezza's couch. I'll seek this route without regrets and drink a brew that think of you. Cause if it's the last fucking thing I do, I'll
pay you back.
Technique, Razzy, nigga, I never forget nothing, nigga. 51% of the World Bank is owned by the U.S. Treasury, robbing third world countries out all their resources and equity. When Afghanistan was fighting the Russians, Reagan and Bush gave Bin Laden weapons and told them get the bussing. We even called them freedom fighters. Financed the cost with CIA importing cocaine. That whole Iran-Contra scandal, niggas took the blame. Started a war on drugs. Meanwhile, Russia's defeated. America thinks more oil for us. Takeover set up for puppet government. A rapping baronet. So the same freedom fighters, George W. call them terrorists. Poetic justice, payback's a bitch. These fucking hypocrites like Bill O'Reilly. White wingers deserve what they get. Rush Limbaugh, drug addict, Giuliani. I wanna thank white supremacists and show you how my techs handle my next nano technologically designed. This big stars to all you stupid ass execs at Capitol resign.
I am vindictive. accomplish. What? I draft children from the Senate and Congress. Pompous religious right made suicidal. When I expose Josephus for ghostwriting the Bible, making nuclear silos, bomb the world with hydro. Chinese dragon-sized blood to Maracaibo. And everyone flashing a gun on a DVD. I make them niggas shoot it out with NYPD. And every fucker that didn't buy my CD, I stab the revolution in their neck with an IV. See me, own the world, I give it back to the poor. I give a last name to every single son of a whore. Hard to the core, fuck with the gamers. Niggas pop on they block, but they globally nameless. I show the hood real gangsters and make them famous. Langley, Virginia, where my connect for cocaine is. I make everybody fucking have the world darkening. I make rap about lyrics, not beats and marketing. Replace every rape virgin's broken hymen. Holding the beers reclining while they choke on their diamonds. My designing's like Francis Ford Coppola rhyming. Building a universe inside solitary confinement. I'd reverse Rockefeller laws and bring Mumia home and serve the president. Freestyling all for the dough.
Oh, we're down all the MSN. We logged out simply because we feared there was a little bit of interference. That's why we logged out. We're going to log back in 1 second.
Probably kill yourself.
Now, also, we just heard there's a chance that Technique will be back on the show tonight. Once again, we just heard that there's a chance he might be back on the show tonight. So just hold tight, everybody who's come to the show simply for Immortal Technique and to hear him on. We've got those tracks coming as well. So that's great news that he might be back on the show a little bit later as well. Let's keep things moving then, musically. You heard it here first as well. I'm looking forward. I'm glad as well that Akia is going to be up on the album as well. That's good to hear because there was one name missing for me when I looked at the track list, and that was Akia. So Akia and Pharamond's track to be added as well. You heard it here first.
I know what I am.
First track taken from Only Built for Cuban Links 2, Raekwon.
Success. I've got what they've always wanted.
Let us know what you think of this one. The Friday Night Live Show at Hotmail.com. We were undecided when we first heard it. It didn't blow us away, put it that way. Brand new Raekwon.
Where you got your dollar, they ask you, do you have it?
Yeah,
idealistic
yeah.
Shit don't pay your rent.
Let's go there, come on. What's up?
You got that? That's
yeah. Good. Yeah, let's go.
Salmon King.
Yeah. The Big Park shit. No, I go.
Oh, wait, down Skinny Nine, I just walked in.
Alleys.
Entered the studio, big style.
Yo, since rap got locked right before we visit the 90s. Chef in the kitchen cooking up with the crimeys. It's late fall dime season. We bought the crib next to Bill Clinton mother cause she fuck with the Chinese. They hit niggas with Heron. It's 14 of us with beamers. We won't stop pitching the Chevron. It's pack kid, black kids don't know how to act. They flashing axe, Gillette's a couple of stacks. Yo, the system's stupid. Yup, shorty with the pumps on and dunks get provided as school kid. And bloodhounds is hating. They knowing how the kid get down. Salad shotties with grenades and waiting. And everybody love vintage. You see like 4-5 niggas with half moons and wave intentions. What's really good? The dro hit him, killed him in the hotel. Heard he had some old chick with him. That's how we make it happen. That's how we break it down. Hood all day, nigga. Watch how we take the town. That's why we do the do. Just know who is who. Acknowledge me all day and understand.
Yo,
who is
but
who.
But on the other side of town is Tony. Laid up. This white chick wanna goggle my nuts. I put the Baileys down, tap the blunt out. Grab the by hair, watch Blondie Love whip my dick out. Spit dripping down my balls, she slobber me. That's right, suck that dick, get it off of me. Pyrex in one hand, large amount of grams and it rocked up. And she pregnant, my little man got it knocked up, he popped up. I'm like a crooked cop, Richard Gere, big smirk on, getting my cock sucked. He pulled the joint out, a bullet spun out, but it was too late. Already nutted on the side of her mouth, side of her face and hair like something about Mary. I can't front, my son gun looks scary. Chill, she's a whore. You knew her from the time we ran trains on the end. You still went and fucked the raw. Come on, son, give me the gun. You gonna kill me over this bum ass bitch. You can't resist. Remember Vel had her in the telly taking the fist. Watch how you aiming that shit. You should be aiming at Trish. She take a bone like a ribeye steak. You roost Chris. Yo, be easy on the trigger, son. You squeezing the fifth. I only did it just to show you she's the easiest bitch. He came close, had to duff him. Nigga, give me that shit.
that's how we make it happen. That's how we break it down. Hood all day, nigga. Watch how we take the town. That's why we do the do. Just know who was who. Acknowledge me all day and understand who was
fucking
who.
Gun, motherfucker. Pull a fucking gun out of me again, nigga. I'll blow your little balls off. Go to the store and get me a fucking 40 before I smack the shit out you, man. Word up. While you at it, yo, go in the freezer, get a steak, man, for your eye, nigga. Word up. Put some bologna on your face or something, nigga. Make sure my 40 cold too when you bring it back. When you get back, bag this shit up, nigga.
What a lovely man Ghostface appears.
Fuck if you 25, nigga, you my son, nigga.
Go and get some meat, put it on your eye. That's why I let you slide. Conspiracy Worldwide, group home.
We gon' do it our way. How the hell we gon' get in? Brooklyn style, nigga. They ain't gon' help us. Got to be in some dark niggas out there. Brooklyn fake ass niggas.
Union Square shit.
It's for you. Yo, real niggas don't die, yo, we multiply. Situations where that lifestyle will make you get wild. I'm cool like the now, I used to be a juvenile. Now now on my shoulder, situations getting kinda bolder. Cool like the breeze when it's time to rip tracks, son. Yo, we're not the one, even if they try to get it done. He's New York style, repping from the east to the west. Grab your tech, in case these brothers really wanna test these devilish crimes. Got brothers really spooking in mind. I know what you see, because you're scared to death for me. The group on me back, fucker banging off the me rap. You niggas alike, East New your face, spit in your face, open your mouth, swallow the taste, listen to the bass, it's like show them love to say they pulling their plug. After that, your hoes know what this shit is about. Punks with clips that make my niggas mad and shit. Cork to cork, they're singing through the streets of New York. It's a damn shame what we got to do for dough. Flip your flow, sing like D'Angelo. How would you know that in this city life take you under my biggest dream? The rock with Biggie Smalls for my team. Tupac Shakur, representing Brooklyn once more. My inspiration's in the house when we walk the street and walk. Walking the beat and peep out my ill techniques. Now check it out. Straight like that, real like that. Brooklyn cat, Ebonic slang, street slang, whatever the hell you wanna call it.
Hey yo, flex on the tracks, hold up on the wax. Your people don't know about the style I tax. Check it on the mic, I do what I like. For the young cats coming in the game right now. He wants a tech, he wants a Lex, he wants a diamond Rolex. But for every dream, a real team die for the screen. Know what I mean? I sacrifice for the real thing. In life, I must write and keep my ideas tight. Hoping for the best, people wanna see me with less. Put me to rest, but my soul is like a vest. Everyday stress, I can't see nothing less. Less.
Cause real brothers don't die, yo, we multiply. Situations where our lifestyles will make you get wild. Cause real brothers don't die, yo, we multiply. Situations where our lifestyles will make you get wild. Cause real brothers don't die, yo, we multiply. Situations where our lifestyles will make you get wild. Real brothers don't die, yo, we multiply. Situations where our lifestyles will make you get wild.
Take it from the brand new group home. Release. I think it's meant to be called We're Back, but it's spelt We're Back. I don't know if that's intact. I'm assuming it will be, knowing Little Dap. It'll be a subtle, subtle thing he's done. Out of that into this one, Punchline.
Know what I mean?
Check that.
You wanna know how to rhyme?
Smarten up the real hip-hop you feel.
Fake rappers getting by with these hell of a gimmicks.
Sick beat.
Know what I mean?
Check it out.
You wanna know how to rhyme?
Smarten up the real hip-hop you feel.
Guns loaded. Shit, you were joking, know it, misquoted, whack it, and the nigga that wrote it, devoted to real shit, rap fiend, my name reigns supreme, like that drug dealer from Queens, I'm real in the booth, for real, I'm the truth, for real, I got steel, that appeal off your roof, I guess y'all fake it till you make it, face it, you're gonna lose hair like cancer patients, ringtone rapper, one hit wonder, career and song will only last one summer, I'm wiser now, and the game getting dumber, like a dead corpse from the land down. Under. Y'all cats feel my hunger. Yeah. Fake niggas like a bad bitch, I got your number. Basically, I'm a tough act to follow. Your fake tough acts will be around tomorrow. Yeah. These fake rappers getting by with these hell of a gimmicks. Know what I mean?
Check it out.
You wanna know how to rhyme?
Smarten up the real hip-hop you feel.
These fake rappers getting by with these hell of a gimmicks. Know what I mean?
Check it out.
You wanna know how to rhyme?
Smarten up the real hip-hop you feel.
Off a
your head. Shit, if you play with my bread, I go hard for these bucks like Michael Red. It's all about the paper, don't be misled. Throw my food for thought, leave your cats well fed. Gangster ass niggas with no street cred should be dead with that shit you speaking. Try to go against punchline, your brain sick. I do it to your dog like Michael Vick. You ain't selling records, don't blame it on the sound. Blame it on that shit that you keep putting out. Yeah. Reroute or be out, your style trash. Stop it, wouldn't cop it, put a gun in a badge. I heard it and laughed, now feel my wrath. Yeah. Taxes is paid, here's the aftermath. Here we go. Corny ass rappers, that shit won't last. Y'all cats fucking up the craft, now cut.
These fake rappers getting by with these hell of a gimmicks. Know what I mean?
Check it out.
You wanna know how to rhyme?
Smarten up the real hip hop you feel.
These fake rappers getting by with these hell of a gimmicks. Know what I mean?
Check it out.
You wanna know how to rhyme?
Smarten up the real hip hop you feel.
The real shit, what you deal with? Raise your hands in the air if you feel this. Real shit's born and we hungry for more. Raise your hands in the air if you want this.
Cats I slaughter, cause the rap game's out of order.
Right.
Watered down rappers, I'm polluting the water. Big niggas run for the border when I'm on the mic. Like hijacking a plane, they take flight. Put it to an end with the rest of your men's. Got no real friends, a couple of yes men.
Right.
Got no real ends, you only got flash money. Once your dough's low, these hoes that act funny. Jews get repoed, cars get resold. Was hot last week, now your numbers gon' be low. Label just dropped you, no one a cow. You frontin' with that bullshit, dog, and it's not true.
These fake rappers getting by with these hell of a gimmicks. Know what I mean?
Check it out.
You wanna know how to rhyme?
Smarten up the real hip hop you feel.
These fake rappers getting by with these hell of a gimmicks. Know what I mean?
Check it out.
You wanna know how to rhyme?
Smarten up the real hip hop you feel. Punchline, sick beats, yeah.
As we line up our next guest tonight, the legendary Rod Digger. Now, of course, signed to INC Records, Inc.
I'm out.
We're going to be talking to her very, very shortly. Let's dip into this one. When I first heard this, and even now, I was a little bit confused. Apparently, this is Corrupt.
Pity the child.
Pete Rock, Lace B.
Pity the child.
Now why should I play around, lay it down like most of y'all lay around? I'd rather gather hollow heads and lay it down, but I'm a little too old to play around. You still banging Dr. Dre and Dog Pound. Snoopy's still the hottest motherfucker out. Yes sir,
yes sir,
we still around. Yes sir,
yes sir,
we still world renowned. I call silence a silent sound. I'm under the radar, stuck silent sound. I'm here, my dude.
I'm here, my dude.
I am born again.
Born again.
We saber-toothed tigers, y'all Cornish hens. Y'all cornball ballers, we presidents. We're presidential, acquired hidden residents. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
We residents. And controllers of secret soldiers and regiments. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
We ball out. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Till we fall out. We get high.
Get high.
We don't have to try. We don't have to look. And we don't have to buy. We don't have to make ends meet to get by. We don't have to try. I am that guy. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I am that guy. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I am that fly. I can't help it. And I can't stop. And I won't stop. And I don't stop. I'ma take the top and put them where the bottom drop. Then I'ma reverse it and make the bottom touch the top. See, this is what they all call the top spot. Then I'ma show the top where the bottom stop. I am everything. That is anything. I can't sing a note, so I let the semi sing. Send them out on the mission, see what the semi bring. Back home to your selected and newly elected king. Now that's gangster. 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 See, that's gangster. Now that's gangster.
Keeping it gangster.
Gangster. Gangster. Gangster.
Gangster.
Gangster.
Keeping it gangster.
Gangster. Gangster. Gangster.
Keep it gangsta with y'all.
Yes sir, I am that guy. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I am that high. Roller coaster. This whole movement's over, giving the West Coasters the cold shoulder. I am ready. Yes, I am here. I am back, Jack, the spinner of the year. Let's get one thing here real crystal clear. We reappear, the hoax disappear. Evaporate, dissipate, your folks disappear. And if you were smart, you wouldn't be here. Now that's what I call a double whammy. I don't need the white folks, I get ghetto Grammys. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I get ghetto Grammys. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
My woman's eye candy, I can't help it. And I can't stop, and I won't stop. That's why I don't stop. I'm similar to Biggie, similar to Pac, similar to Snoop, similar to Doc. Similar because they all taught me something I firsthand, like cock and pop before a nigga talk. I'm airborne, you're grounded, like you hit your report card and your mama found it. Yes, sir, I found it. My third wind to go as far as God allows me. The sky's the limit, it's in my arm's reach. So I'ma reach as far as my arms reach. Gangsta, 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 gangsta,
keeping it gangsta,
gangsta, gangsta, gangsta,
gangsta,
gangsta, gangsta,
keeping it gangsta with you.
Gangsta,
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 gangsta, keeping it gangsta with you. Gangsta with ya. Keep it gangsta with ya.
Now apparently that's corrupt. And of course Pete Rock beat. Now, Menace, you love that join.
Man, corrupt is back.
You really think so?
I really think so. Seriously.
You don't
I just think...
Sorry, go on.
No, it's okay. I just think the Corrupt came really correct on this track. A lot of people are asking why he sounds like that. They think it don't sound like Corrupt. But Finn is, it's a Pete Rock beat, and it's such a smooth Pete Rock beat. You know, he couldn't have rapped any other way. I just... He's back. I mean, it's lyrical. It sounds like Corrupt. He's just... I just think he ripped it.
Okay, let us know what you think out there. You heard it there. That's Corrupt.
How do you like it, right?
Well, it's very different. The more I listen to it, the more I like it. I love the beat. I think the beats speak for itself. It's Pete Rock, and it's a good Pete Rock beat. But when it comes to Corrupt, I don't know, man. I was just kind of like thinking, I didn't even know it was Corrupt. I thought it was Lupe Fiasco. I thought it was Kanye West or something. I didn't know it was Corrupt. Then I heard little bits. And of course, to me, I love the joint for one reason and one reason only. I have never, ever, ever played on this show a track where the rapper... has used the phrase Cornish hens. Now, I don't know how Corrupt knows about hens from Cornwall. I don't know how he got that into his rhymes, but he does a comparison there. He's a saber-tooth, so a saber-tooth tiger is an internationally worldwide renowned thing. But then he compares a saber-tooth tiger to a Cornish hen. I don't know how he got that. I'm out of breath because I just ran around the studio a few times. I don't know why. I'm just all excited. But anyway, it got us thinking, Cornish hens, maybe there's a market there. Advert break.
From the makers of the Jelly Bastard biscuit range comes an all-new sensation, the Cornish hen. Put them anywhere. Put them on your windsill. Put them on your mother's face. Anywhere you want, the Cornish hen from Conspiracy Worldwide. Also available, cat mittens.
How the Midwest was won. Chi-town and Detroit.
Yeah. Available now, the Cornish hen. Get it while you can.
Knowledge bomb, Nick Stass. Let's go.
Bears is grizzly, bulls trample your squadron. Black hawks on ice, black stones is steady mobbing. Long on sour D, my steez is green goblin. Black milk, I'm drinking, I think it made me retarded. Niggas thinking I'm heartless, welcome to Haterville. Joe, we rock and flows spill over, that's what we live for. From lower middle class, we hustle, escaping skid row. Skyscrapers and project buildings dipping the popo. 24s and locos, rocking the fly logo. Powder blue is the polo, kicks moving in slow-mo. Spit flows on slow like double dragons of Bobo. Nick Styles, a hot
hard child, stone down profile. Tell a nigga to slow down, go ill niggas go round. Profound with the nouns, my sound is so Chi-Town. City of big shoulders, ain't banging homie, it go down. Blow down dirty low and west side so wild.
Honey, just fold back, back is in the Cadillac. Been a bonus rhinestone again, we ain't coming back. We roll slow from state to state. It's that Chi-Troy shit for you to dig in your crate. Just fold back, back is in the Cadillac. Turn it up 7 mile and we ain't coming back. We roll slow from state to state. It's that
Chi-Troy
shit,
yeah.
You
gotta
dig it,
get crazy. Southside scholar, Windy City bandit, finesse on the beat like Picasso to the canvas. Big man on campus, branded outlandish. From the city of broken dreams, many lost chances. Overground levitate like I'm Steve Francis. Wore a money tree just to snatch off the branches. Certified star, country like Kool-Aid in a mayonnaise jar. I'm the man by far. Chi-Town to Detroit in the stance of a b-boy. Chip from Pontiac, Lil Hattie, Lil Keytoy. I sell a bit, can't nobody fuck with me, boy. Got enough vanity to fuck with Bruce Leroy. Written a freestyle, Hyde Park to 8 Mile. Here was the Coney Owl. Girlfriend stay at my show like Tony Childs. Cardi cover his eyes, who could it be, nigga? Who but me, nigga?
Old backpackers in the Cadillac. Been a bonus rhinestone and we ain't coming back. We roll slow from state to state. It's that Chi-Troy shit for you to dig in your crate. It's just old backpackers in a Cadillac. Turn it up 7 mile and we ain't coming back. We roll slow from state to state. It's that Chi-Troy shit for you to dig in your crate.
Now, a lot of people that agree with you, Menace of Afraid, the jury is out, everyone going, that is a dope track. I think you sent me just a message now, somebody saying that they've not heard it yet, and they think it's very nice. They were very surprised. They're not normally a fan of Corrupt. It seems that there's nothing wrong with trying to emulate a different style, apparently.
Weapon X has told me that he thinks he was trying, pretty much his damn hardest to impersonate Buckshot. I mean, could you see the comparisons?
That would work. Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah, I don't think he's done it hard enough, though. If he's going to really emulate Buckshot, he needs to get his figures out.
I don't know, man. I thought it was a strong joint. I honestly did, and I'm really looking forward to the album.
No, I mean, it's Pete Rock and it's Corrupt, but it's just very different, as is this one.
Yo, check this out.
You haven't got some Simpsons figures as well, have you? Because you were very shy then, you know. Anyway, Conspiracy Worldwide, Friday Night Live. As we just set things up nicely for Raw Digger. Shout out to Mr. B.
Check this out.
Been pushing the pussy wagon. Back when I wore my hair bushy sagging. Pulling out hunters when the kush be bagging. Collapse fronting while I rap something. To make your eyes bigger than computer boards with the caps button. Was quoting show fees before I could even grow goatees. Oh please, I had your panties sliding like snow skis. I'm hot as a summer day with no breeze. I'm from the hood where they throw threes and other ODs. And you say you want a class seat? Niggas is ass cheeks. Signed last week. Now let the head of the class speak. And drop jewels like professors at top school. Pop tools and cut into niggas like scalpels. It's for my shorties holding rockers to aim. Rich in personality, but want they pockets the same. I feel them, I'm better than before. A letter in the flow, and if you're slow, I'll put you in a no. It goes one for the money, two for the fame. And every rapper in the game sounding the same. They the reason why this industry isn't tame. I light it up, now let them feel the flame.
And let them know. And let them know. And let them know. And let
them know. I snatch a queen's heart and a cross between Martin Sheen and Dean Martin. Puffing on a green garden, gripping where my jeans parting. Giving you the middle over instrumentals. I'm blacking out like a widow, just a little. You flames couldn't hold a candle to me. Dismantle truly, fire Cubans and handle Uzis. You finding them commando movies. It's on a hush hush. On tour, I'm in a 5-star, even a bus plush. Now what? I smile at your foul slut. She's on a low waving, like how I like my hairstyle cut. Yeah, I'm the nicest, compatible with ISIS. A cannibal with Hannibal, mechanical devices. Oh, now can I get it, Joey? Whoa, banging the audio, the realness, I only know. Niggas is tripping, not as if they wiggers and flipping. Like, no matter how big is your shipping, revoke me the flare, I'm smoky the bear. You're soft as Ethiopian hair, be falling for the okie dokie is rare. Now, we can go toe to toe, you're below the pro. And if you're slow, I put you in a no. It goes one for the money, two for the fame. And every rapper in the game sounding the same. They the reason why this industry isn't
tame. I light it up, now let them feel the flame, flame.
And let them know. And let them know. And let them know. And let them know.
Spectac Legacy Lounging. Yes, yes, y'all. Lounging. Hey, yo. I waited too long to surface. Thank you for your generous purchase. My whole purpose was to make sure the wait was worth it. So close to perfect, yet so far from it. Rap was like a hunger in my stomach. I freestyled for one moment, and that was all it took. Drop the basketball and books, we all was hooked. Just lounge on this joint, let us bring back memories. Hardcore rap, flipping metaphors and similes. Weed mixed with Hennessy, way before Missy and Timothy. When I was playing Pac-Man and Centipede. Tony Stark, millionaire rich. Long ways from Papa digging the ditch. Calling mommy bitch, I call it how I see fit. I see this as the ninth day of Christmas, what my true love gave to me. Ninth made the beat, flipped the loop so crazily. Sam Cooke, long time coming so patiently. Finally connection made, respect is paid. Women in the club checking for dreads and braids. Spectacular legacy, they ahead of their days. No, I can't see the future, but I can read the front page. Live on stage, I narrate and execute. Words like the wind, open crowds like your parachutes. They trying to embarrass you. I got a question, can you do it every day, every second? Lounging.
Just lounge, lay back with your people. Just lounge, play that, it's a sequel. Just lounge, hold that, it's the issue. Just lounge, no doubt it's official. Just lounge, lay back with your people. Just lounge, play that, it's a sequel. Just lounge, hold that, it's the issue. Just lounge, no doubt it's official.
We can fracture laws, get at the baddest broads. Livin' up, we can do whatever. Twice as much if my crew's together. Now what are you worth? What now, who's first? I'm inviting. Always cursed, cause I was light-skinned. The details of life in a far land. CL, the wildlife Tarzan. Off tripping, a beat chest. The cost of living is a free death. Too expensive. Ron Jeremy thoughts I do to women. Larry Flynn, till I'm through with sinning. The sex-crazed lunatic. His head glazed, fumes and shit. The shining Jack Nicholas reminding you the cat is wicked. Predator, Ice Cube, etc, etc. I'm nice, dude, it's underground. When you hearing this, just lounge, like lyricists. Just lounge, lay back with your people. Just lounge, play that, it's a sequel. Just lounge, hold that, it's the issue. Just lounge, no doubt, it's official. Just lounge, lay back with your people. Just lounge, play that, it's a sequel. Just lounge, hold that, it's the issue. Just lounge, no doubt, it's official.
Wasn't this beautiful like Penelope in vanilla skies? You done took a ride with Night Wonder, Legacy and I. So hard to say goodbye like we boys the men. Or Wes Craven when I scream like the sequel you can scream too. Crowd participation is immediate gratification. Sony wants to sign Spec cause I play so many stations. PlayStation like the game is. Spectacular like the name is. Here's a tombstone on this holiday. I'll make you famous like Doc Holliday and Jesse James. I'm a lyrical lounge. Rockin' lounge gear in my front living room lounge chair. Get the fuck up out of here.
F that, you never come back. Test Spectac, you should've never done that. We make albums slow, we don't speed. They wanna keep me in the Negro leagues. They know if I hit the majors, the flow will kill the majors. MDK, fuck them, they slaves. Chain to the media, I'm against the grain of the media. What, is them or me? Damn scuffed, my Timothy's divided in Attica. Nightstick smacking you bastard. We want hot soup, we the last hot crew. We got this all day, we prevail. Thought it was LJ, it's JL. Pretzel, you got it twisted, the best L. You gotta admit it, danger zone, see me? I'm ripping again, don't believe me? Then listen again.
Just lounge, lay back with your people.
Just Lounge, play that, it's a sequel. Just Lounge, hold that, it's the issue. Just Lounge, no doubt, it's official. Just Lounge, lay back with your people. Just Lounge, play that, it's a sequel. Just Lounge, hold that, it's the issue. Just Lounge, no doubt, it's official.
Of course, Ninth Wonder on the beat. We just found out that Buckshot and Ninth Wonder will be with us in the forthcoming weeks, possibly even next Friday on the show. Of course, Buckshot has had such a long career, achieved so much, as has Ninth Wonder. But we're about to talk to a guest that has done so, so much. Rod Digger. Menace, do you want to do a quick intro? I mean, people know Rod Digger, don't they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure everybody knows of Rod Digger now. Formerly from Busta Rhymes' Flip Mode Squad, signed to J Records, Elektra. I made the transition to J Records. Currently on Murder Inc., I believe, right now, man. And she's been consistently doing it since the days of Lyricist Lounge. Really nice female MC. And one of the few female MCs that raps about sex as well.
Raps
about sex to sell.
Right, cool. Right, let's get her on then. She's done everything. She's been in films as well. She was in the amazing film 13 Ghosts. she was in that as well. No, people love that film, but I didn't rate it. It's just a personal choice thing. It's not because it's a poor film. I just thought it was like a Disney film, but everyone, oh, it's so scary. And it's just one of those. But she's in that as well. She's in TV programs. Oh, loads, man. We're going to talk about it with the person herself. She's going to come on now. Rod Digger, Conspiracy Worldwide, the Friday Night Live show. Still a lot more to come, including, of course, there's more Technique tracks tonight. Looking forward to dropping those on the show.
Hello,
Rod Digger. Welcome to the Friday Night Live show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time out tonight. It's a pleasure to hear your voice on the show.
We were just
saying before you came on air, man, I mean, your career is unbelievable. You're so blessed to have had the career that you've had.
Aw, thanks, guys.
I mean, we could run through it, but we'd probably be here all night. Where did it begin, though? That's the first question. Where did your career begin?
Wow, let's see. When I was a little girl, I've been rapping for a really long time, like since I was, you know, puberty stage. It was something I started out doing as a hobby, but somewhere along the line, I just got really, really good at it. And I met some folks in the neighborhood and decided to put together a demo tape, and I ultimately found myself working with Dos Effects, and I'm not even sure if a lot of people even, know that, early on in my history, but I started out working with Dos Effects. I had a rap partner. We would call it Twice the Flavor. And then ultimately, everybody sort of disbanded that crew, like when the whole Hit Squad broke up, when EPMD separated, like everybody kind of went their separate ways. I ended up, on the Dos Effects side, but then shortly thereafter, me and my partner split up, and then their road manager separated from them. He became my manager. We beat the streets of New York. I signed on to the Lyricist Lounge movement, where I did a ton of things. That's where people pretty much know my history from that point. Then there's the infamous me performing pregnant with Q-Tip hosting that show at SOBs, and then lo and behold, I signed on to Elektra Records through Q-Tip a year later. Didn't work out. I went from Q-Tip to Busta Rhymes. We were all like Elektra Records label mates, so it was a nice clean switch. And from there, it was just kind of history. Busta Rhymes featured me on his Posse Cut off the When Disaster Strikes album, and I've just been a member of flip mode ever since. Although I'm currently not at this moment, you know, we're still all in good standing.
Excuse me. I'm choking.
In a nutshell, the life and times of Roger.
You've choked me with that resume there. You've nearly killed me. That was so impressive. Yeah, I mean, that's just the early career. And like you say, that people know you really from after the Twice the Flavor. I'm glad you touched upon that, because that was something I wanted to ask you about then, but you pretty much answered most of the questions there. Now, let's deal with the situation here. We speak to female artists on this show, and one thing that really does get on their nerves is when they're called, oh, you're a really good female MC. Has that ever bothered you to be labelled a really good female MC?
I get asked that question a lot. I see it a lot. It doesn't really bother me, because I feel like, you know, me as an MC, period, you know, I hold my weight amongst males and females. I mean, I guess in a way it's kind of saying, you know, you're pretty good to be a female, but I just look at it as, I mean, that's just life in general. You know, it doesn't matter what line of work you're in, you know, you're always going to be, you know, I guess, coming second to the males. So what does make me, you know, what does, I guess, make me feel good is when I do see people say, well, dad, you know, she could probably smash most of the dudes out there. Like, I, you know, that kind of makes up for all of that female MC stuff.
Exactly, because that's the main thing about yourself, is that you are an MC, and you see so many female artists, we'll call them that, that really do the derogatory, really, and they do kind of make a new stereotype for the female so-called MC out there. I won't mention names directly, but you know the sort of artists I'm talking about, where they come out and say, right, that's how little clothes I've got to wear, this is who's going to write my lyrics, this is, you know, what direction I'm going to take, that's the producers I want, please, daddy, can I have all those, here's, you know, and they'll have the money for that. But you're just a real MC, no matter how successful you've been. I mean, I'm looking now at all the awards and nominations, etc. You know, we got Video of the Year, Best Collaboration, Best Female Hip-Hop Artist, going back to that point, Hip-Hop Video of the Year, Best Collab, People's Champ Award, the list goes on and on and on. And
yeah, I've achieved a lot in my day. You know, I'm very humble. Like, a lot of I'm so normalized and so grounded that people will see me in the street sometimes and not even realize it's me, because I don't travel with a million and one bodyguards with like hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of jewelry on. I mean, especially like when I'm in the hood, especially like, you know, where I grew up, it's kind of rough in the streets. Like, I'll drive around in like hoopies and stuff just so I can still kind of have a normal life without being a spectacle, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think people really, like, you know, they dig that. It's like, oh, wow, you know, she's standing next to me in line at Walmart. It's like, you know, it makes people, you know, have a profound respect for you.
Yeah. And that's the key thing that you've always achieved, respect. That's the main thing, isn't it? You've always achieved respect.
I live for it.
And that's obviously a key to your success. My co-host in the studio, wants to touch upon this female issue. Menace, I'll just hand over to yourself.
Yeah, how are you doing, bro?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. What about you?
I can't complain. It's Friday night. It's raining. I'm kind of bored. I ordered some pizza. I think I'm about to have a Tudor marathon. I'm really fascinated with this TV show, so I just like watch them on demand back to back to back, and I think that's about to be my Friday night.
Nice. So speaking about TV shows, while we're on that topic, how do you feel about, you know, VH1's Miss Rap Supreme?
Oh, I think it sucks. I think it's the worst show ever. You know what's really funny is I was actually in talks with VH1, like, way before, like, before Flavor of Love, before reality TV really, like, made its mark in history. I think this is, like, when they were first deciding that they wanted some more original programming and they wanted to experiment. And I was in talks with them to do the same thing. I mean, we had a pilot and everything, like, looking for the next female MC kind of thing, but mine was a little more along the lines of making the band, but it was, you know, in search of the next female MC. And they weren't really, like, the numbers they were talking, you know, as far as, like, the cost of production, it just wasn't realistic. I was like, there's no way you can have a show with females, you know, with the amount of dollars you're talking about. Like, chicks, you know, chicks got to get groomed, you know, they need a place to stay. Logistically, it just didn't make sense. And then we scrapped the whole thing. And now, you know, now that reality TV is it, I knew eventually I would see a show, you know, that show would come up. There's the whole next everything else. So I knew at some point in time it would, you know, there would be that show. It would have been nice if they would have, you know, consulted with me, but I'm actually glad I didn't. Like, now looking at what they've turned it into, it might have been a blessing in disguise.
So, I mean, in general, how do you feel about all of these reality hip-hop TV shows? I mean, do you think it's a good thing for hip-hop, or is it a bad thing, a balance of both, being a double-edged blade? How do you feel about it?
I think I don't like them, personally, and, you know, it's not because I'm biased, because here I am really going to school to be an actress, and meanwhile, you know, they just plucking folks off the street. But I think as far as, like, the rap shows, it's not really, you know, conducive to what hip hop is for real. Like,
right.
To me, it seems like, you know, people are kind of making a mockery of it, or what they think hip hop is supposed to be, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't. Aid the already, like, tarnished reputation that hip hop has.
Just not a true representation of our culture at all, is it?
Right. It's not at all. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not mad at folks trying to, you know, earn bucks. But I think, you know, like, I can even appreciate a movie like 8 Mile, you know, representing, you know, hip hop more than I can appreciate the reality show versions of it.
It's funny here when you say you're actually against it, because just the other day we were talking to Master Ace on a show, and Master Ace said he actually loved the idea of, you know, old school artists still making money today and getting into those kind of lanes.
Yeah, see that now that's what I'm talking about. Like, I can I'm not mad at, you know, them finding ways to make money, or even reintroducing them to, you know, to the current hip hop society now. But I think as far as, I don't know, just like the whole, I'll tell you one show that really got on my nerves. I think, was it like the celebrity rapping, Shard Jackson rapping and
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I forgot the name of that show, but stuff like that, it's like, come on, like, you can't be serious. You can't be serious. Like, I'm not mad at, you know, at the guys getting work now or being remembered and stuff like that. That's always a blessing, but it just doesn't come across authentic. No matter how pure their intentions, it's not really coming across authentic. It's more of a mockery to me.
All right. So, I mean, stepping outside of that role for a second, let's talk about your music. And we all know that for the most part, you know, females are usually the ones buying albums. And It's interesting, because just earlier today I was talking to a friend about how rare it is today, you know, for a female rapper to maintain a sale with a balance of both male and female fans. But your fan base, you know, for the most part, has always been outweighed by male fans.
Right.
How important is it for you personally to have a female fan base as well as a male audience?
I think, as far as, you know, that's, a female fan base for me is always going to be determined on, like, the particular song I make. I think just by my voice and my whole, like, swag in general, it's a little harder for the females to accept me, just because, you know, I just come across as a brute. when, you know, I'm nothing like that in real life. But just listening to my music, like, you would really think I was, like, some crazy hardcore chick. I think when I made Party and Bullshit, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse on the show, the females became a little more perceptive to me. Like, I just have to make a song, you know, to lighten it up for the chicks every so often, just to remind them, like, hey, come on, girls, let's go, girls, you know, because with females, I find that females aren't really diehard hip-hop fans anyway. There might be a handful of them, but those are like the B-girls. They don't really represent right. the majority of the women that buy hip-hop, and those women are, I guess, they just follow what they hear on the radio. They hear a catchy tune they like on the radio, and that's that. As far as, like, having a cult fan base, that's always going to be males, because that's just the music that I consistently make. But every now and then, I'll have to put out a Party and Bull, or in the case of my new single that I'm releasing this summer, it's called Little Fatty, you know, songs like that, just kind of giving the chicks an anthem, you know. They're more motivated by those anthem records that they hear on the radio, so that would, you know, that's how I kind of combat that. But I don't ever really expect to have a, you know, a cult female following, because I don't make those kind of records on a consistent basis.
Excellent. So you just mentioned, obviously, a cut from your new album, and we all know how important it is for an artist to truly represent themselves in all sides. How do you intend to, or how have you, displayed the feminine side of Rad Digga on your new album? I mean, what specific topics can females expect to hear you touching on this new album?
Right, well, this album is way more conceptual than even my last one that wasn't released. Everything is a Story was more conceptual than Dirty Harry. Dirty Harry was just, I'll battle you. Everything is a Story was more conceptual, and this one is pretty much the same. This one is just like back to the basics, grassroots. I got Primo on it. I got Pete Rock on it. But on the flip side, I'm also working with Colley Park Music as well, so I got the young, you know, catchy hook swag songs as well. And then I have a lot of, but all of it, I guess for the most part of it, it's mostly conceptual, and it's, you know, it's for, I call it grown folks rap, because, you know, I'm not coming out pretending like I'm 23 years old, you know, I'm not doing all of that. I'm like a grown woman with a, you know, with a child, and I'm just making stuff for the, you know, for the that stuff that, you know, older women, not older, but, you know, just mature women can appreciate. You know, I don't have too much. I never was a big fan of, you know, the whole rap anyway, so. I'm not, you know, I'm not representing that league of women. I'm representing, like, the Essence women.
Yeah, yeah.
The women that read Ebony and Jet and things like that. So,
yeah.
And that, they can feel me.
Yeah, and that comes back to the point we were saying earlier about, you know, the nature of a person you are and the nature, of course, of an artist you are. Now, the new album then, of course, no longer, as you've already said, no longer part of Flip Mode Squad. Now, you've got no ill will against anybody personally from Flip Mode Squad.
Oh, no, not at all.
No.
I'm still cool. Me and Busta still talk. I just, you know, like, and he's gonna, you know, we're gonna make more music together. I just, as a businesswoman, it was just in my best business interest to not be signed to Flip Mode as an artist. But that, you know, that's not to say that Busta ain't my homeboy, or, you know, we don't make music together. I mean, I don't see him. I don't really see him at all, because we're just in two completely different places. But we, you know, we do communicate on a frequent basis, and we, you know, we still maintain a friendship. It was definitely an amicable split. I don't have anything bad to say about Buster.
And of course, now signed to Irv Gotti's label, and it was a case of, I mean, was that just a pure business move, or was there any more in that kind of shift over to that label?
You know what? That is a rumor. That is so untrue. I am not signed to Murder, Inc. Right. I don't know how that rumor started, but I am so not signed to Murder, Inc. I just woke up one day, and that was all over the internet.
Wow.
And I just...
wow, because...
And I have to...
Sorry, go on.
It's one thing, you know, with rumors and stuff, because usually where there's smoke, there's fire. But in this case, like, there's not even any smoke. I haven't seen or spoken to Irv Gotti in years.
Wow.
And I do see Ja Rule a lot when I'm in California, and, you know, maybe for like 5 minutes, I gotta let you hear some of the new stuff I was working on, but how it turned into me signing to Murder, Inc., I have no idea.
Well, I mean,
I have no idea where that came from. We've never had that discussion ever.
Well, on all bios that you look at, it's in there. It's in concrete. She's now recently signed with Irv Gotti's Inc. Records. That's what it says on all the bios. It's saying that.
It says it on every bio but mine.
it's a publicity stunt.
I genuinely don't know where that came from. It's to the point where it's just like a fact in music now, but it's not true.
No. Okay, there's an exclusive for us. That's absolutely not true, and it's just a rumor, so you just disregard that.
It's not true. I mean, you know, and I wouldn't, one promise I did make to Bus, I was like, you know, you don't have to worry about me signing to any other cliques. Believe me, trust me when I tell you, I don't want to sign to any more rappers ever again. But I wouldn't, you know, my next situation is definitely not going to be of a clique affiliation. If anything, you know, I would just be dealing directly with the label. I don't want any more middlemen, especially if they're artists themselves handling my business.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we'll get to the listener questions. We've had a lot of listener questions. People are very intrigued about certain things. One key listener question has been about the film, 13 Ghosts. And to sum up all the questions, let's just come with this question. How much of a challenge was that to make a feature film like 13 Ghosts?
It was a really big challenge because even though it was released after the MTV movie, that was actually the first film I ever did. And I went and you know, naturally with major theatrical features like that, it usually takes about a year or so before they hit the screen. So that was my first movie. And I come from a music background. I don't have any acting experience, drama school, like none of that. And then, the cast, Tony Shalhoub and F. Abraham Murray, and, you know, they're all seasoned already, so I was a little intimidated in the beginning, feeling like, or wondering how they were going to perceive me, you know, being the token rapper in the movie. And then, the initial table reading we had before the shooting actually started, I missed my flight, so I didn't make it to that. So then I was really scared, like, oh, God, they're going to look at me like, you know, I'm not taking it serious or something. But, I mean, everyone, it was great. Everybody worked with me. I mean, I was treated like royalty. And I think I surprised a lot of them because I was on point and on time from the beginning. You know, there were times where I would be on set and, we're waiting for the actors. And they would be expecting me to be late. I'm always punctual. And I think I just really, you know, gave them a performance that they... I wouldn't say they didn't expect it because that's how I got the part. You know, it wasn't a favor. It wasn't a hookup. It wasn't anything like, oh, we need a rapper in here. It was me really impressing the hell out of the casting director and the director. And when I got there, they let me improv most of it. Like, I didn't even have a script.
Wow.
I didn't even have a script. They just wanted me to be like, you know, natural, sarcastic, witty, and just, I made that character.
Yeah, I was just going to say, as well as impressing them, you impressed audiences throughout the world, didn't you? Because it was,
it got really, out of when the reviews came out, everybody felt like me and Matthew Lillard practically made the movie. That's when it got scary for me. Like, it wasn't, the scenes where all of us were kind of together and everybody else was talking, and I just had to look kind of scared or make little funny interjections every now and then. That part wasn't so frightening. Just the part of the production where, okay, we separate in the house, and then, like, maybe for like a month or something, it's just me and Matthew Lillard running around. That was kind of scary because I was feeling like, oh, crap, like, now I really have to show and prove, you know. I can't hide behind everybody else doing their thing. Like, now, you know, the camera's about to be in my face alone, and, you know, I got to do the thing. I got to look scared. I got to be funny. I have to do all of that. And it went well. It went well. I was happy.
No, no, and you should be as well. Have you done anything with your phone in the last few seconds? Because you've gone very quiet. I don't know if you've turned the phone down or something.
I'm sorry, what happened?
Oh, that's it. Yeah, it's back now. The phone went a little bit quiet.
Oh,
now,
I'm sorry. I faded out.
A little bit, but that's fine now. That's fine. No, I was just touching upon that because, of course, the follow-up question is, can we expect to see you on the big screen very shortly?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've done auditions, and it's not... One thing I do notice when you come from a music background, unless you kind of have, you know, current music going on, it's a little harder to get those roles. Like, now I'm being perceived as, you know, an actress competing amongst thousands of actresses who've been going to drama school. When you have, like, a hit record going on or something, it gives you a bit more edge over them. But because they definitely, you know, they scrutinize you a little more when you come from a music background. Like, you know, are you really serious about this? So I've been going like above and beyond the call of duty. I've been taking acting lessons. I work with private coaches. I've been studying, you know, drama. And I've really been like, even though everybody thinks, like, the comedic roles are my niche, I've really been, like, working hard on, like, the drama stuff, like, knowing how to cry and, you know, be that whole, you know, serious character. So hopefully it pans out. But I've been on the West Coast doing that. I've been on the East Coast focusing on music, too. I'm kind of back and forth. Once I put myself in one space and go 100, then I think I can actually get it out. Like, if I 100% focus on the music, I can get the album out. If I 100% focus on the acting, I can get another flick. But right now, I'm kind of flip-flopping between the both of them. So I'm taking, like, baby steps in both directions. But the next thing, course of action for me is definitely this album. Again, releasing a single this summer.
Yeah.
Album soon to follow. And then from that point, I think I'm going to permanently, you know, focus on the acting. But I have a lot of other things going on too. I mean, I just got a gig as a music supervisor. I'm in the process of, you know, putting together the soundtrack for Vivica's next movie. It's called Hacking Hollywood. And I've been going to film school as well, so I will be, you know, along with acting and rapping, I will be scoring movies and editing movies.
Wow, that's great, man. That's great. That's great.
And I've learned how to produce. So, yeah, I'm producing, I'm editing, I'm scoring, I'm composing, I'm music supervising. So, yeah, I'm coming back with a vengeance.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll touch upon these comments as well. Claire, one of the listeners, says, tell her I think she's awesome. That's coming from Claire. So I just thought we'd pass that one, just flown into the studio.
Thank you.
That's coming from Claire. Another question then.
I think you're awesome too.
There you go, Claire. She thinks you're awesome too. Okay, another question then. I don't know how you react to this one. Ask her if that was her on the Busta Rhymes sex skit on When Disaster Strikes. That's one listener.
No, it wasn't me.
No. Okay. How does Radiga feel about Tony Yayo playing KRS-One in the upcoming KRS movie?
I think it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, they definitely resemble in their physical attributes. So I think it would be... I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, Tony, you know, he's a great guy. He has a lot of personality, as does Chris, so I think it might work.
Oh, okay, excellent. One last question then from the listeners. What do you think of Remy Ma's and Papoose's recent episodes, the recent events that have been going on, Remy Ma and Papoose?
I think it's real tragic. I mean, I think she's a very talented young lady, and, you know, I don't know the actual circumstances, but I guess there's a big debate going on about that. I mean, some feel that it was an unjust sentence. And, you know, if in fact she is innocent and it was an accident, then maybe it was unjust. But at the same time, I don't think that we should all be extra sympathizing because she's a celebrity, because had it been, you know, a gang member or some random person that did the crime, like, we would be lobbying for life in prison. So I don't think that celebrities should be exempt from the law. And if she was found guilty, apparently there must have been some overwhelming evidence against her, because at the end of the day, her celebrity status did not save her.
Absolutely. Well, there you go then, listeners. That's the questions that we've selected then being answered. Listen, Rod Digger, thank you so much for taking the time out. You've blessed us with a couple of tracks from the forthcoming album. We're going to get into those now and see how the world feels them. I'm sure they're going to feel them hard, particularly like in the track which you've given us, which is simply titled B-Girl 1-1. That's all we've got. That's the only title we've got on the track. But that's really
okay,
dope.
Well, B-Girl is one. The other one is called New-ish.
Yep.
And that was produced by, actually, a native of UK, Dreddy Beats.
Right, cool. So we'll get into those two now, then.
Yep. Got some music from the fellow UK clan out there.
Yeah.
Very dope. He's a very talented producer.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll get into those two now. Well, thank you for your time tonight. God bless. Have a great evening. And hopefully we'll stay in touch through your manager, and we'll keep supporting, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely, and you're going to be the first to know when Little Fatty is released, and you shall have the exclusive.
Excellent, that's what we like to hear. Rod Digger, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Bye, London!
Conspiracy Worldwide, Rod Digger, Friday Night Live Show. Let's go into this one.
Big girl, stand up!
Get ready!
What it be now, what it was, what it is, sucker free now. I'm too recluse to really let loose, I play it cool. Shades, juicy sweatsuit, champagne at high noon, and crank the volume. They asking how soon, and blast the iTunes. Get a whole nother checker, when a life's the record. You ain't gotta like a bitch, but you better respect her. Wasn't skipping through London, dropping album in France. Having Germany rocking, then I drop in Japan. I ain't rocking with these labels, trying to hinder my plans. Digga, digga, they chant, then I get in the stands. I'm like, huh, zun, 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 zun. Recognize what you're dealing with, still in this state of turbulence. Can't believe all the urban myths. Take it from a real G with them B-girl vibes. And they saying that the B-girls died. I got my B-girl gear, I got my B-girl shades. Hollywood can't even take me out my B-girl way. I ain't out here hoeing cause I be more clever. Type of clash you ain't seen since the B-girl era. I don't know if it's the fluff or that B-girl swag. All them boys trying to get some of this B-girl ass. They be loving when I'm spitting all them B-girl rhymes. Never on schedule but always on time. I'm like, huh, jump, 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 jump. It's the return of the B-girl.
Take it from the brand new Rod Digger album.
Look at me, girl.
Conspiracy Worldwide still to come tonight.
Sucker free.
So much. With some Mortal Technique tracks on the way very, very shortly. Tetley's Tea.
The world is mostly water. The earth will drown from the tears shed for sons and daughters from guns or corners. Numb from mourning, funerals become so usual. The numbers so high, they write them in Roman numerals. We're saying friends left, only few of you. Woods, is it drugs, guns, or disease? It take the last two of you. Beautiful fly bouquets on the ground being laid. Staying paranoid, counting the days. My flow's like an ocean drifting. While you on a boat coaster sitting, giving you motion sickness. Jehovah Witness, bang on my door with watchtowers. Believe in God's power while watching the clock's hour. I'm aware there's a sucker born every day. But explain to me why a newborn's thrown away. But I'm finding them, looking for food, looking for shoes. I've never been confused. I'm from Brooklyn, what's new?
I hear the cries of innocent.
No one shows pity.
Why was I chosen to survive?
The Bible, a word.
Something real.
Words unrevealed.
Everything minus 30 is colder than my beats. 18-year-old girl shot in the streets. And it wasn't a stray. Random victim, happy birthday. The irony, stabbed parents in the back, they pray. Roses cover the grave in which she lay. This don't happen every day. We in an astonished state, but would not hesitate to walk by the helpless. We create bubbles around the troubled self and hide what would help. I hardened my exterior and disguise how I felt. I'm part of the problem, that bum I might as well have robbed him. I held both my pockets tight and kept walking. Isolate myself from the rest of the world's problems. I'm waiting for Superman or President Bush to solve them. Life told me the caller ID said death was calling. She's like, answer the phone, why you stalling? I beg to differ and still smoke the split with her. Life's a bitch with her skinny ass dipped in fur. Get the picture, the snapshot, full color in the winter. Ain't no paramedics when your soul is injured.
I hear the cries of innocent.
No one shows pity.
Why was I chosen to survive?
The power of words, something real, words unrevealed.
The same reason a tree formed, the same shape as a vein or lightning. The same reason why a toilet drains, like the shape of the Milky Way. There were birds, now there's planes. Electricity flows through our brains. A single-celled organism is like a sea. The shape of a snail, the same shape as our galaxy. An ant colony differs little from you and me. Throughout the universe, you always see common themes. Adam and Eve knew too much, so they were punished. We in the information age with our fingers on the button. All I gotta do is open my eyes to see what's coming. That's why I feel like buying lots of guns and running. Document history, working, sleeping and running. I'm just trying not to disturb nothing. I should do something. As long as my music keep bumping, as long as your neck pumping, it's nothing but good I'll summon. From the most basic of words I spit, they'll be stunning. Every syllable full of grace, truth and cunning. I hold my heart tight while NATO bring the drums in. The unknown one humming to nothing in the dungeon.
I hear the cries of
No one shows pity.
Why was I chosen to survive?
The power of words, something real, words unrevealed.
Hold it down, Gangsta Radio, if you got the relay rolling tonight. I haven't heard from your management. Now, of course, we talked to Immortal Technique tonight. He's got this new mixtape or album, depending on what you want to call it. Now, of course, there's a lot of mixtapes out there. There's a huge culture for the mixtape menace. And people will pay a lot of money for certain DJs to host their mixtapes. You know, large amounts of money can exchange hands, ridiculous amounts, with just the person who's hosting it simply doing an intro, an outro, and putting the thing together. Now, we've got a lot of mixtape DJs around the world who, you know, we're in contact with a lot, but there's one from the UK particularly that we're in contact with, and his name, many people will know him, is DJ Ames. Now, he's put out another couple of new mixtapes, and as you all know, regular listeners, we like to feature some parts of his mixtapes on this show just to show support. Now, people pay him a lot of money to do the mixtapes. Right, that's a fact.
Do you know how much off top specifically?
£30,000. No, I don't know exactly.
That's a lot of money. No, I'm just joking.
I don't know exactly, but it's a lot of money. So he does an intro, does an outro, and his intros are okay, they're passable, they're fine, but it's the outros I have an issue with. If you're paying somebody money for a service, you want a nice, clean outro to your mixtape. Of course you do. It's mandatory. You just need that sort of thing. Well, this is what DJ Ames does. Here's the quality of his mixtape outros.
Yo, what's good, people? That's it. The mixtape. Enough said. Now, check out my boy J-Ro doing this thing, putting the fire out there on the MySpace. MySpace.com/JRO Good Life Enterprises. That's MySpace.
Now, just stop a minute, right? You've been paid a lot of money to do this.
/JRO Good Life Enterprises.
Come on, man, that's shady. You cannot slip up on your outro. Good bro. That's terrible. I thought how could they paid money for that? He can't even be bothered to re-record it. I thought that was bad. Tell you, there's another mixtape.
Yeah, that's it, people. You know, it's the mixtape. My boy Punchline's doing his thing. You know, he putting it down, putting that fire out there. But it is what it is. You know, hit my boy up on the MySpace. MySpace.com/Punchlines1981. You know, you got big tracks on there.
Now, come on, man. That's not something at our end, making that noise. He's delivered that and gone, oh, yeah, I've done your mixtape. It's big.
Soon. To myself on MySpace, I was like, MySpace.com.
Listen to that sound, I cannot believe, but anyway, so if you want your mixtape hosting, DJ Ames, you've heard his MySpace a few times on the show. There was another news item that we mentioned a little bit earlier that I wanted to touch upon now, and I can't find the notes. It was something else. We mentioned the Suge Knight, we mentioned, of course, the DMX. What was the other news stories this week? Was anything else that was at the forefront? There was something we mentioned a bit earlier.
Wasn't it the whole Papoose story?
Yeah, I don't know too much about that. That's what I wanted to ask you about. What's happened there? Because I'm not caught up on that.
Basically, there was a story going that Papoose.
Remember when we had Papoose on? And because we said, like, Papoose, that went, oh, man, I hate it when these cats, you know, they can't pronounce his name. It's not Papoose. It's Papoose. So
I think we had a whole message board mad at us because of that, didn't we?
Yeah, it's Pap. You have to say Pap. Papoose. Go on, Karen.
So, yeah.
Pap.
Papoose is a story to Papoose. No, Papoose.
Basically.
I visited Remy.
Sorry, but if you ever want to get in contact with a cat, right? If there is a cat anywhere and you want to, like, people like, go, here, kitty, kitty, that doesn't work. There's international cat language. And I absolutely, 100%, I'll give you money if it's not true, right? If you say, Papoose, the cat will come to you. I swear to God, it works. There was a cat stuck in a tree where I work. Nobody could get it down. I turned up and went, Papoose, jumped out the tree. That's a true story. Papoose. Anyway, go on. Bloody Remy Ma, talk about it. What's been happening?
I don't think I can. No, so he visits Remy Martin in jail. And the story is that he apparently had a skeleton key for her to get out of jail. You know, for her to get out of the handcuffs. And apparently he got kicked out straight away or something to the extent of that. And he went off cursing at, you know, the security guards. And apparently he's not able to visit her for another 6 months. But the fact of the matter is, who goes to jail with a skeleton key, you know, to free whoever?
How does that work? Surely there's more to getting out of jail than just like going, oh, I've got the handcuffs off.
But yeah, there would be. I mean, it's probably just some fabricated story, you know, somebody's made up, but nevertheless, it's interesting.
It is, because it just keeps happening, doesn't it? Papoose seems to be always somewhere in the news, doesn't he? As is Uncle Murder, who's been arrested again. We don't even know who he is, but people are always like, oh, Uncle Murder. Headline news, Uncle Murder got arrested again for dancing weirdly. I don't know what he's been arrested for this time, but Uncle Murder again is in the news. But there we go. The big news for me, though, is not really hip-hop related, but of course last weekend there was the Radio 1 big weekend, and the headline act was Madonna, and she came on. I saw the show on TV. I saw her whole performance, and I've got to say, and this is absolute truth, it was terrible. She was awful. She couldn't sing, she couldn't dance, she couldn't do anything. It was a shocking performance. Of course, the powers that be have to tell us that it was brilliant because she took time out to do it and they paid her. So they were all like going, oh, Madonna was fantastic or superb. She was terrible. So she went to number one. Of course, her album went to number one in the UK charts, and surely nothing could knock her off the top. No album's going to come in and knock her off the top. She's got to have more than 1 week at the top. But the great news for me, I thought this was very satisfying because I believe that Madonna is a Satan worshipper. It was great to see that her album got knocked off the top position after 1 week by Scooter. Scooter, the European dance act, came in with their album, and UK radio hates Scooter. They everything to do with this German dance act. And they just knocked her off and went straight in at number one. And that, to me, was a big V sign to the industry because, you know, that Madonna has existed for so long, in my view, based on the politics of the industry. And then, you know, it went from like Madonna with these kind of subliminal messages in her music and all this kind of thing. She puts this gothic kind of thing in there to like a group just going, show me your panties. And that was what the people, that's what the British people really want. Does the fish have chips? They wanted that. That's what they wanted. And that went in and just knocked her off the top spot. So that was satisfying, but it's not hip-hop related. Still to come on the show then, we've got the Immortal Technique exclusive tracks. We've been holding back, of course, to keep people locked on. We've also going to be talking to a few more people on the show. Hopefully D Nice will still be available. We are very, very late for him because of the previous interviews. Hopefully he'll still be available and we'll get him on tonight. Looking forward to that. Jay Live, brand new.
I'm glad you waited for those who slept. This ain't a wake, this a wake up. Them horns you heard, it wasn't taps, it was reveille. You left the cold, I don't blame you for the breakup. But I found a rebound sex so heavily. She need the stroke, I'm digging out the chasm. On beat all night, she has an eargasm. Now she wet, cause I run deep like still waters. The shallow shit you kick, a fish could've thought of. You a dumb fuck like statutory rape. This is Planned Parenthood, we do it for the babies. You might be reminded of the 90s or the 80s, but I gotta rebuke you now, this is the future sound. Yeah, who in the right mind? Then they put a stop to hip-hop. If you don't stop till I stop, and I don't stop till it stop, it's a rhetorical question. You shouldn't even bother answering.
Yeah,
you in a building, but not where hip-hop resides. I pull a fire alarm, we going outside. This the new school, I disrupt your lesson. You're getting phased out like a left side crescent. You're making it harder for the real recognition. Report to the octagon with submission. I'm on a state running like nuclear fission. A beat like this, the key in the ignition. We multiply free, you conquer by division. Your own closed mind is the bars of your prison. You're trapped in the world that I wouldn't want to live in. You travel worldwide, the same vibe is given. You're living so heavily for selling such hell. Either come with a solution, or we got a problem. Calling this a throwback, I beg your pardon. We older than the sun, moon, and stars. Fuck stardom. Yeah, who in the right mind? Then they just put a stop to hip-hop. If you don't stop till I stop, and I don't stop till it stop, it's a rhetorical question. You shouldn't even bother answering.
That is my antonym.
Who in their right mind think they could put a stop to hip hop? If it don't stop till I stop. And
yo,
and
it's going out to man, woman, and child. Senior citizen too. Atheist, Buddhist, pagan, and Hindu. God, body, and mind. Christian, Muslim, and Jew. The black, brown, the yellow, the red, white, the blue. So U.S., Haiti, and Puerto Rico too. Everywhere in between, digging in the scene with the universal fire that can't be extinguished. Whether your captain was French, Spanish, or English, the older aspera, we reunite the seeds. Fight the effects of greed at light speed. Feeding your thoughts so you can want what you need. Even as an amateur, I shall proceed to add to the cipher, drop a trail of jewels that lead to a time where conscience is cool and the righteous flow trumps a nonsense drool. The magnetic to make the world come through.
Yeah, who in the right mind think they can put a stop to hip hop? If it don't stop till I stop, and I don't stop till it stop, it's a rhetorical question. You shouldn't even bother answering.
That is my antonym.
And of course, talking of news, breaking news as we've been on air. The guy that knocked Suge Knight out is about to be offered a contract from The Game. He wants to sign him. So that's just leaking news. Game's come out and said, I'm definitely going to sign this guy who knocked him out. God, it shows you what hip-hop's like on the overground, doesn't it? Like, he's just going to sign a random guy that just punched somebody. Like, I'm going to sign him, yeah. Why would he sign just a random person anyway? So that guy's just punched Suge Knight, knocked him out, and now he's going to get a record contract from the game. That's just come out there. Check the internet. If you don't think that's accurate, have a look on there. You'll see that news has just dropped. Other news as well this week before we push on with the show was the very strong rumour. In fact, it was almost presented as a fact that Nate Dogg had passed away this week. That was the whole thing, that Nate Dogg had passed away because of complications with the stroke that he'd had. Of course, that was then totally untrue. His people spoke out and said, no, he's recovering well. He's not passed away at all. And it was just a rumour. But that was something that I think a lot of people went, oh, that's kind of tragic. You know, it's like anything. It's like when people, I'm going to dig a hole for myself now. I was just going to say, it's when people, you know, people get old and they get ill sort of thing. Anybody gets ill. It kind of softens the blow a bit with people. When they do pass on, it's like, oh, well, they were very ill. So I think a lot of people just went, oh, that's a shame. But he's doing well. Thankfully, he's doing very well, and he's on the road to recovery. So that was a total, total lie. Let's go into this track then before we push on with the guests, etc. tonight. And we push on to that Immortal Technique track. Let's go into this Pharoah Monch. Of course, we heard tonight Immortal Technique is going to be featuring a track which is not on the track list that you've all got, which is going to feature Akia and this artist, Pharoah Monch.
But you never get away, no, you never get away from the burn and the heartache. I walk to the power by the bay. Everywhere I go, oh, 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 oh.
Lord.
She was playing cards with coasters, rusted pipe cockroaches. Voted most likely to succeed. They was right, all she do now is succeed. Clutch clit, suck dick while she puff weed. In the bathroom, band-aids for her scuffed knees. With her hand, chop a mountain down, you know where her nose at. Running with them hookers and them hoes at. Before the Paxil and the Prozac. She used to beg a nigga for the Bozak. Now all I ever hear is where the dough's at. The Prada bag, clothes at. Took my heart, froze that. Promised that if I opened it up, it would never close back. It was a love so solid. Plans to deliver the ring like Frodo the Hobbit. But you cut me off like Elena Bobbitt on some bullshit when we was just getting started. And I can see it inside your face. I'm in your space, right? People just need to move at their own pace. But my advantage is 7 spiritual laws and anger management. 7 spiritual laws and anger management. 7 spiritual laws and is a bitch though. Should have seen the way he switched, yo. From my head, I'ma remove this gun. Live my life to the fullest, have fun. Some Dr. Atkins shit, no buns. Cause 99 problems and a bitch ain't one. Streets of New York walk into the sun. On some Martin Luther King, we shall overcome. This man means biz, he's back on his grizz. Dismantling stress, he's handling his. Plans for summer tours and for various projects. I'm so focused now, I can see through objects. Show her I can make some positive progress. Time's now so, so obvious.
While we await the next guest tonight, D-Nice, legendary D-Nice. We're just really focusing on news, and Dino in the studio just passed this piece of news. This is real news this week in the UK, and maybe just will be relevant to British and UK listeners. But the West Midlands Police had to pay libel charges, or libel damages this week, to Channel 4. And the question is why? Well, Channel 4's Dispatches programme did a show exposing radical Muslim nutters and passed their evidence on to West Midlands Police to pursue it. The police responded by publicly accusing Channel 4's Dispatches of distorting the truth. And rather than pursuing these radical people, the West Midlands Police tried to badmouth Channel 4 via Ofcom, the regulatory board or institution. And that's what they did. So the West Midlands Police, strangely, they didn't really act on this. But of course, I hate Channel 4. Some of the things that Channel 4 have done, particularly with religion and particularly with Islam. I don't know, Skinny Niner, did you see the program where a bunch of non-Muslims tried out Islam? That's the way it was, the program. They tried out
Islam.
You mean
Islam.
I think I know which one you mean.
I was shocked by that.
I was shocked by it, though. I was shocked by the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, this was like, they ridiculed Islam. They showed these people, like, going, oh, these people are so miserable. No, they don't ever laugh. And they kept it all in. And they just made the whole thing look... It was just reinforcement, really, of the media image of Islam. Yeah. That's what it was, and I thought it was shocking.
They've done quite a few documentaries. I think the one you're talking about, it was some Sufis they went away with and filmed them.
Yeah, possibly. I don't
know. Is that the one you're talking about?
It was where they went, like...
There was all different people from different religions, weren't there?
No. This one was just, I don't know, these were just regular people who went. And these were people who, you know, like to drink a lot, like to eat bacon.
That's the one.
Yeah, there's a gay guy as well.
Yeah.
And they put all these people in there. And he just was actually interested. Yeah. He became...
His dad had died, didn't it?
And he actually, I think he, didn't he convert at some point?
He was quite interested near the end of the... Yeah, those were Sufis.
And I reckon he was a plant. I think he was an actor, and I think they did that to wind up Muslims who were watching, because there were so many Muslims who were watching that, just like spitting feathers. But then that was said, what? A gay guy? What's going on here? I think they were just planted just to wind people up. But they presented it, if you remember, they had like the beds they had to sleep on, as if that was an Islamic thing, that they slept on these really hard beds that were really uncomfortable. And everything was portrayed as Islam is about suffering.
Well, the whole thing was a conspiracy. It was just set up from the offset.
Yeah, exactly.
You could tell from watching it. You know, everything obviously was edited to their way of, you know, how they wanted to portray it. But I don't know if anyone watched the Drug Baron documentary.
I didn't see
it. It was shot in Pitsmore in Sheffield. It's on YouTube if you want to have a look at it.
That is an issue we should discuss.
That is just another conspiracy.
Whereas
she's supposed to be a Yemeni woman. And she pretends to be, you know, she dresses up as though she's a Muslim, but obviously she's not. And she comes in and interviews people who enjoy chewing cat.
Yeah.
Which is, it's like a herb type thing.
Just to clarify, that's Q.
Do you want to explain to the people what it is?
Yeah, because people are now like thinking, they chew cats? We're talking about cats, so QAT. We're not talking about, like, so some people are like, oh, these Muslims they're so strange, they even chew pets. We're talking about QAT, which is like you just said, like Skinny Nine just said there. It's like a leaf. It's
okay,
a plant.
Yeah.
And it has the same effect as speed. That's what has been suggested anyway.
Yeah, it's from like Ethiopia, Yemeni, Somalia.
Yeah.
Like a root that they take the leaves off it and chew it, they chew the whole thing and they get intoxicated off it.
Yeah, they get intoxicated and the Muslims getting intoxicated. But as you told me, they say that it's not wrong because didn't a scholar write something?
It's completely forbidden in Islam because obviously it's an intoxicant and all intoxicants are forbidden.
Yeah.
In the UK and in USA, it's legal, but in every other country, it's a Class A drug.
Yeah.
Except for parts of Yemen, it's allowed in certain parts of Yemen because a deviant so-called scholar passed a fatwa. But it can't pass a fatwa because it says in the Quran that all intoxicants are completely forbidden.
Yeah.
And serious punishment to anyone who deals in them.
Yeah, I mean, this documentary you're talking about, which was a conspiracy, I think I absolutely agree with that, because the way they were portrayed as idiots. The people were portrayed as idiots. They were portrayed as just sat around.
Just making, did you watch the whole thing? They were just making fun of it. It was just a conspiracy in the first place, because she was a woman, and in Islam, you know, women who are not related to the, you know, if they're not married, you know, to the brother, they don't speak to them anyway. They're not allowed to be in contact with them. So obviously there was a female interviewer. She was obviously not a Muslim. She was dressing up as a Muslim, impersonating a Muslim. And it was like disguised, because they didn't mention Islam. They just mentioned the Yemeni community, but obviously it was all about Islam.
Yeah.
And the actual place where they went was next door to the local mosque. Mm. And they got, you know, they got a lot of footage of old men chewing cats.
We reiterate, we're not talking about the pet. The thing that I'm saying, though, is that the whole conspiracy to me was that they portrayed them almost like as a Borat image, that they're all sat around just mindlessly chewing, and then they they got the little banjo out, and they're like, you know, dancing around, like when, we like a cat.
Well, it was real footage. It was real footage, and it needed to come out, but it's just the way they did it. It's very sad that, because, as I said, it's completely forbidden.
And of course, it was.
And those people were, just, you know, majority of those people were just idiots. Anyway, they had no clue
where they were. They didn't know where they were. Did they?
I know even the people. I know these people in the video. Do you know what I mean? Because that's where I live. I live where that video was shot.
Yeah.
That's my local mosque where that video was shot. It doesn't show you the mosque, but it's next door to the mosque. But actually, that place has actually been shut down, I believe.
Mm. Yeah.
It's changed hands now.
Yeah, and I mean, the way it was portrayed.
Did you see how much was in the van? Did you see the van?
Yeah, I know there was a lot of
the van was absolutely full.
Yeah.
Of drugs, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And it was the point I was just going to make there, that it's absolute bait for BNP, that documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Because now they can say, not only, sir, do they come to our country, our beautiful England, but they also come here and they take their drug. And once they've taken that drug, sir, they're mindless. They are mindless. Yeah. They don't know what they're doing. They might kill you, your daughter, might lock her up under the house in Austria. They'll do anything. Just vote for
BNP. Don't rule out BNP either, like you said before on other shows. Don't rule them out, because, you know, BNP are definitely a threat. And they definitely got high connections, you know, in the government and whatnot.
Well, they have in bloody Rotherham.
The police force.
They have in Rotherham next to Sheffield. They won, didn't they? They won the local elections in Rotherham. BNP.
I'd like the people who listen to the show, I'd like them to look at the Combat 18 site, and you'll see what a real terrorist is.
Mm. Yeah.
I looked at the site just out of interest.
Mm.
And I was shocked that they were openly planning to kill people.
Yeah.
And if you look on the website, you'll see it, that they're openly planning on killing people.
Mm.
And one of them was obviously successful, the Manchester nail bomber.
Mm.
Well, I don't know, it's Copeland, whatever his first name was.
Mm.
The Soho nail bomber. He was Combat 18.
Mm. Yeah,
he was a terrorist, but people don't talk about that. You know, they just want to talk about, you know, they just want to link terrorism with Islam, but they don't talk about
it's the thing
that, Manchester nail bomber.
No, but it's the thing about the outsiders. We've always got to have outgroups, haven't we, for powers to be able to manipulate people, and it's a lot easier when somebody looks completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said before, IRA. You know, you couldn't spot an IRA member. It wasn't easy, but of course the media went, wow, Muslims, they look like that. We look like this. Great. There we go. There's the out-group. So that's why Combat 18 don't get mentioned.
IRA is something different, though, isn't it? It's not the same thing as BNP. I mean, obviously, IRA, they wanted independence, didn't they?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
There was more, you know, it's political, obviously. Mm. This is something completely different, because I understand where IRA are coming from. You know, you can look at that and say, yeah, I understand where you're coming from. Not that you condone it.
No.
BNP, Combat 18, there's no...
But it's so respectable. That's what I love about his BNP. It's so, like, respectable. It's so, like, oh, yeah, they are a credible party. And they're
on the outside,
did you see their advert? Did you see their advert on the TV, which was about, you know, vote for BNP? It was such a bastard advert, meaning that it wasn't, like, in your face going, Do you hate black people? Do you hate gays? Well, vote for us then, because we hate them too. We'll kill them, kick them in. It weren't like that. It was all like, what would we do for education? And it was all about, we'd get more homegrown teachers. It was all this kind of thing, real subtle racism that was all the way through their campaign.
Very
but
dangerous.
The BBC were playing it all the time. Like, that was a BNP. And it was really in your face. Power. Money and power. That's what it's about. Here's a song.
Hey, yo, you're whack, nigga. That's my word from the burg. Northside in Columbus cold. Chilling with the third. Just illing with the verb. While I'm dealing with the herb. Talking about he got gas. So he pillin' with the urge. Nigga, please. Yeah. It's Dow cheese in your rhymes. Rap, huh?
Please.
Let me help you recognize the facts. Hey, yo, you're whack, nigga. What is it? Everybody that rap, who back triggers? I heard your song for a sec. Yo, is that Jigga? I mean, you bit the whole style. You sound a crack figure. You got the gang so twisted, too scared to hold a biscuit. Never risk it. Logistics, you'll just be a statistic. Claiming hoods, territories that be flaming good. So hot, you get shot and start blaming Suge. My man got three bodies and doing life sentences. But you talk about it on the mic. Just pretend shit. What's your time served? Oh, that's 6 to 9 word. Days you was in, got knocked for buying herb. Thought you was Pablo Escobar Mumalo, you just a crab fag. I hope the kids don't follow. Say you murder something you just do and get away with. That's a myth, Joe. You just sit and stay. You never saw Law & Order SVU. How they find that blood in your SUV, that's true. DNA, you're a rapper, need to be at CMJ. But you lock somewhere up north, being gay, nigga, please. Yeah, I don't believe the hype you spit on the mic, homie. Hey, yo, I peep the style, peep just say the tight thing, homie. Yo, check it, scared to death, don't even come out at night. And the sad thing is, you get locked, nobody around your hood will send you a kite. Hey, you're whack, homie, I said you're whack, homie. Don't understand these rap phonies, but they back on me. You're just a cartoon gangster like Fat Tony. You spit your life, but can we stick to the facts only? You know the cash money that you flash on these. Streets creep where he will put your gas on these. And make you strip down, skip town, or else that ass will get found. This clown draws through these things, shit brown. You bugging, nah. Verse sound like you was loving cops, cause you gave up your peace. Like rap music, it wasn't hot. They got police forces that target MC's courses. No lie, FBI read about us up in the sources. Vibes and double XLs, direct sales. They got it in quotes, that's how your case can set sail. Judge heard your jam, got a slam, reject bail. Got an all-inclusive state of parlay, a fresh sale. Now your MO is dry snitching, you see the eyes twitching. But this ain't your rap, cats take your life. Listen, and peep out the words that I speak, the wise wisdom. Or the rock you talk, you end up in the jive system. Nigga, please. Yeah, kill the North before you kill them toys, huh? Yeah, check it. Yo, the streets part of me, the real McCoy. That's what you do, man. Check it out, just relax and live your life, son, filled with joy. Before somebody say that they killed that boy, you whack sucker. I said you whack fucker. Next time you grab a mic and spit a rap pucker. Cause you a hey now, gay style, trife nigga, way foul. Sweeter than sugar, but on the track you speaking way wild with more bodyguards than the president. Cause fools wanna rock you, pop you leaving no evidence. Kidnap for ransom, extortion play you out for chance. And cause you slipping, slipping, now you about 10 grand and 15 of them bangs, man, man, cause I'm saying. Video, you was big gay, don't tell me you was playing. All damn night laying in the Cussavian. Got stick up niggas out when they plot you for the praying. Broke ass, dope bag, sniffing nigga Joe. Stiff ass on the mic, rapper spit the most trash. 52 fake, I had to break right on a post draft. Expecting a bomb, but the official had to throw flag. Cause you so whack, into the lab, your ass, you need to go back. Don't care about your guns and your dope stack. Just a flow whack, y'all niggas know that. So please, we don't believe you, tell another story. Yeah, yo, your gangster image ain't doing nothing for me, player. I remember a young cat used to send him to the store, B. Now check it out. He grown, now we think he Nori. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah, yeah, you don't want that life. Yeah, 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 yeah. You don't want that life,
Lone Catalysts. As we keep things moving, let's bring on the next guest for tonight, for the people waiting for the Immoral Technique album. Hold tight. Good things come. All right, then. Let's get into this one, then. Looking forward to this. One of the artists, when I was growing up, taping Jeff Young's National Selection, an hour of hip-hop per week on radio. That's all we had out here. And, yeah, that was one of the artists was, of course, on those tapes that I still got. D-Nice, the legendary D-Nice. Looking forward to this. Let's bring him in now. No introduction needed. For the educated listeners, or the over 25s.